and welcome to episode 7 of Comms Noise. I'm Chris, and here with me are...
Matt.
And Matt.
And Ricky.
Okay, welcome. So here's an agenda of what we're going to be covering today. We're going to actually run through a little bit of listener mail, read it out and answer it.
Yay!
Then we're going to have a quick discussion on a Q1 kit we went to. But Matt won, so it's going to be really quick. Because believe me, you can't cope with his ego.
So,
haven't got the space or energy. Then we're going to talk about the new stuff. Wave 6 got released this week.
Or
the first article, I should say. Spoiler article got released. That's exciting. And then the main bulk of the episode is part 2 of our episode upgrade review, where we're going to talk about the other categories that we didn't talk about last time, the neutral ones. Okay, so first, let's just go through some of the promotional stuff we've got. So, Ricky, what's our email?
It's commsnoiseuk@gmail.com. Should you want to send us any questions or...
And we'll read it out.
Anything like that.
We've got a Facebook page now as well, which is...
Facebook.com/commsnoiseuk as well.
Brilliant.
Nice, it ties in nicely.
It's almost like we've made it easy.
I don't know where we are.
I think we should go more obscure.
And then for those of you who can make it to Bristol on a random Sunday, we've got, in a couple of weeks' time, we're running a Q1 kit tournament.
You must have the date.
April the 9th
at Bristol Independent Gaming. Linked on our Facebook page.
It is on our Facebook page.
Three rounds. Comes
TRCs.
With the TRCs, which we bigged up last episode. So if you're nearby, you haven't got any, no excuses.
TRCs aren't all that. It's fine.
Yeah. Easy mode, Matt. They're easy.
Easy mode.
All right. Let's start off with some mail then. Ricky, who have we got?
We have... Oh, I had it up just 2 seconds ago.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
Who's the first one?
Well, we had a Chris Gomez, who... was kindly just letting us know he really enjoyed our show.
Cheers, Chris.
Cheers, Chris. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
No specific questions, but I thought we'd give him a shout because he
enjoys
us. And we also had an Adam Wiley, who did get in touch with me quite a bit about some help with his list originally.
Do you want to read out some questions?
The key thing was, I should have read this beforehand.
what list do we have?
Why prepare?
I may as well go with what end up...
Can you go back from the conversation? What's the original email?
I think I ended up giving him a Yavaris list.
Oh,
boo.
This was
the last thing why he needs is more Yavaris.
But it was...
Let's read out the first one.
Yeah.
Hi guys, another great podcast. I always learn a lot listening to you boys chat through tournaments and lists, so thanks and keep it up. No problem. Can I just ask about Kevin Horseman's Imperial list? Sounds a great list to fly, so I'd love to understand it a bit better.
And this has come from the regionals, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the winner of the regionals. Did he make a serious bid attempt or nearer to 400? It was exactly 400, wasn't it?
He didn't bid at all.
No, what was his point?
Yeah, he maximised. Assuming the VSD-1 had flight controllers ministered to it and ECM, that's correct. Gladiator had APTs and the slave turrets and Architens. Yeah, I think that's right from my memory. How many defenders? 2 or 3?
I don't think we remembered, did we? I think there was only 2 and maybe he had the named one.
I'm pretty sure he had Gendon.
He definitely had Gendon.
Did he have the named one? Steel?
I'm pretty sure if he got Gendon.
I think he just had 2 normal defenders, I think it was.
I thought with Gendon.
Because he had Gendon, Mauler, Dengar.
Maybe.
Jonas for Demolish for...
Very nice.
For Gladiator. So,
But I went through... I think we discussed roughly what he had, what we remembered, because it was like... Mine was the last game of the day. It was a long day.
Yeah. So, Adam then goes on to ask if we prefer APTs, expanded launchers, or assault concussion missiles.
I think we covered that in our episode.
Listen to episode six. Yeah, so if you want the lowdown on the upgrades and why we think they're the best ones, why we like them.
It was APT, right?
It must have been APT.
Yeah. I think if you guys obviously haven't listened to...
No.
I've got both of us doing this to yourself talk.
You only listen to it when you're on it, man. Right?
If you can spam them across the board, wasn't it, that ACMs might be better. But for the points...
I've had success with
we basically worked out APTs was the best on damage because you get the crit through the shields and you get one damage that you can't brace.
Yeah.
And we said if there was if black if there was upgrades, and one was 13 points and one was 5.
Yeah.
We would expect expanded launchers to be 5, PPTs to be 13, but it's the other way around.
But just thing with ACMs, with boarding, we won't go into that yet.
Yeah, we'll cover that later.
That's nasty. Ooh.
Constant filth.
Thinking ahead.
Okay. And then you looks like you gave him a lot of feedback.
Yeah, then we went over lists and we discussed different strategies to what he suggested. It's quite a long...
We won't go into the details, thread, but the bottom line is you gave him a filthy Recon.
I'm pretty sure it was him.
So it's just to clarify, he started off wanting to run an Imperial.
ended
up being Recon Uraris.
He just went, I think you've got... just one thing I'd change, the faction you're running.
Yeah.
List, but I would just change all these things. Change your objectives, I'd change your commander, change your faction.
Well, he had Gallant Haven in there, and it just sort of...
Haven's good.
Yeah, I don't think he took your Uraris in the end, actually, but he went Gallant Haven.
Big love for Gallant Haven. Did have some interest chatting with some of the guys in Dubai during the past couple of weeks. Some Marder signs take off there, so shout out to the Dubai guys. Lincoln, Shane and co, if you're listening. But they've got a very interesting meta sort of starting off at the moment, and there doesn't seem to be much love for flotillas, so it's going to be it's going to be very interesting seeing how their list develops as they slowly realise the power that is the flotilla.
Yeah, it's just that activation.
It may not matter.
We'll cover it when we come to our sort of guide to what ships we like. But yeah, it's clearly
I don't like
something you have to learn by playing with them, I think. Anyway, thanks for that, Adam. Hopefully, Ricky answered your questions with his expertise. Yavaris is his specialist subject.
Bombers. I'm using Yavaris in a while.
You say specialist subject, I say crutch.
Coming from the PRC spam.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and do let us know if you have any more questions non-Yavaris related. And we've got one here from Joseph Hegeman, who says, I need some advice, help with a Carillion conflict fleet. We're doing 5v5.
Ooh.
Interesting. A lot of uniques already taken. I have Medine as Admiral.
Good man.
Was thinking MC-80 and one or two MC-30s. Do you have any ideas for a fleet with Medine? Appreciate the podcast from the US.
He did come back with a lot more detail later on, because he didn't provide much, but they did provide his list that he currently has.
So we've got MC-80, Battlecruiser. That's the Liberty, right?
It is a Liberty.
Yeah, it's a Liberty.
With Medine and Turbo and XI-7s, which we covered in the previous episode. MC-30 Torpedo Frigate with Ordnance Experts. Another one with Ordnance Experts. A medium transport with Torin Farr. Two E-Wings, one Hera Syndulla, two X-Wings, and Nora Wexley. Worth remembering here, because this is the first game of the Carillion campaign.
Second,
you can only have...
Second game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He's only got one upgrade per ship.
This is like, after. This is what...
Okay. So couldn't afford admonition then.
Well, a lot of things were taken already, so it was quite...
A difficult one. 5v5s are tough.
And it's like, where do you aim for? Do you aim for, like, what you do then? Or are you aim for 500 points? Because you can get 500 points, as we know, in...
Yeah.
CC. Well, not we haven't finished our last game, but...
Yeah.
Whether we will ever play it is another question.
Finding the time.
I would say if you've got Medine and you're running a Liberty Battlecruiser, I would say you really want that. Was it nav teams? Engine techs?
Engine techs. Yeah.
Engine techs, get an extra move because it makes you speed 4. Mm. Gives you so much more maneuverability.
Seriously good. Yeah.
I was running that for a fair bit with leading shots and spinal armaments. So you've got a lot of dice, you get the rerolls, and gunnery teams, so you've got that much dice out the front. And that kind of positioning, you should really be going for it.
Well, the Liberty arc. The Liberty is, let's face it, it's shit if you don't get its front arc in the right place.
Oh, yeah.
So, Engine Tech helps you get its front arc in the right place.
With Engine Tech's amazing. The amount of time I was able to get behind an ISD turn 3.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I am sorry again for what I suggested.
So,
for
this one. This is what Ricky suggested. We have...
your Boris might be in there again.
We have a battle... We have a Liberty with Medine, Gunnery Team, Engine Tech, XI-7 leading shots.
Nice.
You put your Varus in a Medine.
We have your Varus in a Medine list with Flight Commander, Fighter Coordination Team. We'll come to some of those later. Won't read them out now.
That was a good mix.
We have Quantum Storm with Bomber Command Center. We have Bright Hope with Torin Farr and Bomber Command Centre.
He had Torin Farr already. He had a Bomber Command.
And Admonition with Ordnance Experts. Just... Assault Proton Torpedoes, H9 Turbo Lasers.
He's taken a beautiful...
Maneuver. 4 B-Wings, 2 Hawks, 2 X-Wings and Nora Wexley.
So we've taken this beautiful high-damage manoeuvre list.
Yeah.
And just put and we scrapped out everything that made it great and brilliant, and we just smashed it.
Crowbar Javaris.
Click, rinse, and repeat.
Well, like the ideal is, like you cannot deal with all of that. You've still got an Liberty. Right. But you've still got an
if he's
Liberty.
In a 5v5, he's done well to get Admonition.
He's got all the
Torren Farr, yeah. Bright Hope, well, Javaris, and Quantum Sword.
He had a lot of these cards already. That I just like.
So he had all the other guys ready.
Well, it sounds to me like they were trying to have a fun, interesting narrative campaign.
And then Ricky heard them.
And then Ricky found out what was going on. Got and said, "Look, lads, look."
But one he's got both flotilla titles.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, out of five,
you don't need those. I don't know if he had those. I think he had something. But
this is his
that's not the big
that
deal.
You should right. Okay,
that was to aim for. That wasn't, and he had some other ones.
Possible.
I mean,
that would really do well. It may not be a fun one.
It might do well. But I think you're not getting much value out of McDean in that. That's the only thing. I mean,
I didn't think so.
Sure, you know, he's getting a bit.
Yeah, he's just there for the MC80.
Yeah. I haven't tried running the MC80 without McDean yet. No.
I played against
a couple. You just go vaguely to the side and get away with
it. If you've got a maneuverable list, you can just get away from it so easily.
But how do you deal with that? Because you've got Liberty, you've got an MC30 coming around.
It's 500 points.
You've got bombers coming at your front. What do you do?
It's the games before you spec up to that.
Well, he was almost there. He wasn't far off.
Right.
Well, anyway, that's interesting. What do you guys think of 5v5, just very briefly?
I think if you scale it properly, it's great. Yeah, it could work really well.
Will it work?
You might have to look at the limits you've got on bases. Might have to scale them up.
Because everything scales up, so the number of points it needs to scale up.
Oh, the one to win. Yeah, and to get to that last
game. That final battle would be insane.
Well,
right?
2 days.
You don't have to play the final battle.
You can't
just win it out. Like, for example, in our game, like we could have just gone, we're winning with so many points, we'll just win a couple more. It's no fun, is it?
Yeah. Maybe you went 5v5, you could just do 300 points or something, and then the last game would be viable.
Yeah.
Like 2,500 points. 400 points is the limit or something. You'll start with 3, you get 400. I think that would work pretty well.
Or just take the hit, carve out a weekend, do it.
A whole weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole day for that.
Basically like Twilight Imperium all over again, right?
but probably twice.
Just the same game.
Although, stuff's going to die quick. When you think about that many ships on the board.
Yeah, very true.
Ammonition should be fine.
Very true.
Not
anyway,
that many still.
Thanks for your mail, Joseph. Let us know how it goes. And if you do play that last game, write in and tell us how it went, because... I'd be interested to see how long it's time it as well.
Some pictures.
Time it from arrival to commencing, like to finish packing up. I want to know how long it took.
also, if anybody can kill your virus, like dead, scarred, then finish it off. Please write in and let us know. We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah.
Put a bounty on your virus.
Honestly, I've not flown a Yavaris list in ages. Last tournament.
You're living vicariously through other people by suggesting that they should play.
Everyone else.
I'm still waiting on the one upgrade that means a Star Destroyer can just one shot an EB as it flies in by shooting in the weak spot. I think it's very thematic and fluff-wise it would work.
Let's not have that.
NetBees are terrible apart from Yavaris. They don't need to be weakened anymore.
Salvation's great. I just think.
Satavation. Salvation with Sato.
I'm still not sure on Sato. But it is all a good ship.
Yeah, no, it's serviceable.
So that's it for this month for mail. Do write us in if you've got any questions or you want lists shared. We'll read out as much as we can each month. What's the address again, Ricky?
commsnoiseuk@gmail.com.
Awesome.
It's also listed on our details for the.
For the podcast.
It's on the webpage.
Yeah. Do we have a PO box in case anyone wants
we don't have a
postcard?
No
snail mail, please. No thanks. All right. Next up is the Q1 kit from a couple of weeks ago. So I'll go first because it'll be really quick. So I took three ISDs.
Hero.
2 1s and 1 2. I had your Gerard, which actually makes them insanely manoeuvrable and scary. But because I couldn't really afford any meaningful upgrades, I had gunnery teams on the ISD 2. And I had I had three tractor beams, actually, to slow stuff down. Based on my, I won't reiterate my comments from the last episode where I sort of put forward the theory of the Phylon Q7 tractor beam in our review of the offensive retrofit upgrades in episode 6. And yeah, I ended up with a bye in the first game with a bizarre circumstance where my opponent was read out. He was in the toilet, so Jim assumed he'd gone or wasn't there because it was his first tournament. He then paired me up against Ben Edgar, who's not here, who's normally of this podcast.
Constant villain.
Who we literally played our practice match against with exactly the same lists, and I didn't fancy it. And then Mark, who was supposed to be my opponent, because Ben had the bye, came out, and I just said, I'll take the bye, because Mark didn't want to come to his first Armada tournament and play two games out of three, and I didn't really want to play
Ben. Getting a bye in Armada's the worst.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to play Ben, so, and I just went and played Destiny with Jim, so it was fine. And I got the extra TLC for it as well, for the bye, so I got two. Yeah. Not that I need it, because I've already got three, so I'm never going to run five.
Sweet talking to TO.
You
say that.
It was your suggestion, wasn't it? It was a good suggestion of if you have a bye, you get...
Yeah, that was before I realised I was going to get the bye. Well, Ben should have had
Well, you didn't know you were going to get the bye, but it was a good suggestion for anyone that would have missed a game, they would have got an extra card.
Yeah, because there were 15 of us at this tournament, 16, so you get 17 in a pack because you get one for the TO. But Jim doesn't play Armada, so he just puts it into the prize pool. So yeah, I just said whoever gets the two buys. And there were two buys because Matt had to leave to go to work for the third game. Complicated.
It sounds villainous, but they just work in a board game cafe, so we can let him off.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So very briefly, so that had first game I had a buy. Second game, the two weaknesses I thought my list would have was Rhymer Ball and anybody who can... navigate quickly back up from the Phylon Q7s, like Ozzel, and I played a Ozzel list with a Rhymer Ball. But I got incredibly lucky to win, I think I won 6-5.
Sam Perkins.
Against Sam Perkins.
He's definitely improving as a player.
Yeah, he definitely is. It was a good list, actually. I might rip it off at some point. he played it well, and he killed one of my... ISD's pretty quick, chasing down the Rhymer Ball, and then it boiled down to, in the last turn of the game, he managed to get his last Architens round behind my ISD. I was first player. I shot him with a blue and two red. Is it two blues and a red? Or basically the back arc of the ISD.
Yeah.
And I needed three damage off the three dice, which is pretty spawny. Killed him. Then he had a shot at killing me back with Gladiator.
Yeah.
And he needed a two damage. Yeah. And he rolled a lock and an accuracy and a crit. And then I had to flip, and if it was structural damage, he won, and it wasn't. So
yeah.
It was a comms noise, actually, which was fitting. Normally they screw me over big time, but this time it was my saviour. So that ISD would have made it like a 7-4 or an 8-3 to him. I got 6-5 on that. And then in the last game,
It was interesting watching that one with Sam Perkins because you said like he should have won that game.
He should definitely have won.
I was watching, he should have won. But one of these interesting, because I know there's a couple people that say, because I've made the same similar mistakes in my first game.
Yeah.
Switching off at the end of the game when you're going to win it, or there's almost nobody can lose it. I think there's about five things I saw him do. I can't say what they were specifically, but five things he did that didn't lose him the game, but they gave you the opportunity for luck to carry you. Like, he should have been able to lock you out.
It's very advanced stuff. Like he moved Rhymer out of range of his squadron commands, so he wouldn't have been able to. He couldn't command Rhymer to get in position because he would have annihilated me if he could have got his fire.
Not running fire a lambda or anything. Not running a lambda.
No shuttle.
Set tight on the points.
Yeah, no shuttle. So he moved stuff out of range, and like at the time it didn't seem that bad because it looked like he was going to get me.
Right.
But then dice rolls went against him, and. If he had just left him within that range, he could have moved Rhymer within range of the fireballs, and the fireballs would have had long range to finish me off in the back. Yeah. So that was that one. And then I played Matt Cook in the last game with his try hard. Yeah, absolutely. Try hard.
We did say we were all going to have a mess around list.
We did, yeah.
No one's talking with us.
admonition and loads of... TRC Corvettes.
Three.
And Bright Hope.
And fighters.
And Medine, wasn't it?
No, it was Kraken.
Of course, Kraken.
My constant quest to find my perfect Kraken list.
Yeah,
Kraken. I think I found it now.
Theoretically, a good matchup because ISDs don't really care about Kraken, but going second against ammunition,
especially tractor beams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I managed to slow a lot of your Corvettes down to below three, and I slowed Bright Hope right down, and I just blew it away.
Oh yeah,
it's quite fun. Yeah. Bright Hope died horribly, and I think I killed another one of your Corvettes, but that was it.
It was just Bright Hope.
Because
otherwise it'd have been a 9-2, not a 10-1.
Because I got you down to another one.
We have a couple of hull on some of them.
Yeah, because you had first. Oh no, that was it. I was set up to kill you, and then you got a crit with ammunition, which was you can't fire at long range.
Yeah.
Oh, at least you didn't get that crit that you can't fire anything obstructive.
No, he did, but he'd already slowed me down by that point, so I was no longer obstructed.
Yeah, he did get that crit.
Well, he got that crit, but it was on an ISD that's going to about to die anyway.
So oh, right.
Yeah, so I managed to turn my guys around like 90 degrees because of Gerald, so we were like flying down the board at each other, which is quite funny.
Long ways.
Because we had Solar Corona, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you losing accuracies on that, but it doesn't, who cares?
It wasn't too bad.
Just two turns of ammunition, just couldn't.
Two turns of double arcing ammunition so at close range.
It's just
kind of
bit good.
Except the bumping damage just to maintain the arcs and just
I just couldn't. There was nothing I could have done, I don't think.
I'll talk more about that ammunition and its kill tally for the day in my chat.
It's because you had blast doors on it as well, didn't you? So I got it down to one hull point left, and then you just blast doors.
I mean, you say you got under one hull point, like, it's true, but it had so much shields around it. It had loads of shields around it still.
It had tokens and shields. So
three damage purely from bumping.
Mm. So yeah, so I lost that one 10-1. Ended up 8th, I think.
Giving it away
15. Yeah, it was an experimental list, and we're only use it casually again. But I liked Gerard with the ISDs. Okay. He's a really dangerous.
You still think you might take it to Euros?
I might take two ISDs with Gerard, and then bump up the activations and bid as well. Because if you bid when I had against Sam, I had my two weaknesses, Ozzel and Rhymable.
Yeah.
The fact I went first cost him big because I was able to just. Every turn, I could just set something up in the front of my ISD and kill it first and move away. Going first with an ISD is worse than Gladiator, really.
Because
your Gerald can put crazy double arcs on people and stuff. True. So I think I still think it's a good concept, but it just needs more activations and it needs bid to go first.
And you just won't be able to do that with three.
You can't do it. Well, three. Even if I drop to ones, three plus your Gerald is 3-5-3. I think
bids in Bristol have gone ridiculous. Like we had guys come from West up from Cardiff and. Highest bid out of all of them was 7. I think for those who bothered bidding, I think the average bid was like 13.
Yeah, mine is 12.
Ben bid 16, I bid 15, other Ben bid 15. Like,
oh dear.
So that was my event.
Should I go?
Yeah,
mine's a pretty short and sweet recap. So I took a list that was, I guess it was semi triad because I'd taken it to the.
What's with that?
London regional. hey man.
You got smashed.
Your list knocked people out of the games. Locked people out of the games even.
It wasn't a dry hard list. It's experimental at least.
But I'd taken mine to London regionals, the Darksphere one. Nice. And I'd really enjoyed flying it there, so I thought I'd give it another go.
Mm.
But it's a GLAD 2, so you get the red die with Ordnance, Engine Techs, APTs and Demolisher title, obviously. Two Architens with Slaved, two Gazantes, one with Comsnet, the other just Vader. And then the squadron setup is real small, but it's Gendon, two Defenders, Jonas, Zertik, and Saber. So it's just meant to use Saber and Gendon to pinpoint and hopefully annihilate their key squadrons and Defenders and everything to just tie people up. Architens roll a lot of dice out the side with Slaved, Concentrate Fire, and Darth Vader. They can put a lot of hurt through. You have Jonas floating around, so you get the accuracies that you need. It's just a fun list. It makes some difficult decisions for some people sometimes. round one, I was against Robin with a Recon Yavaris list, which had AF2 and a bunch of flotillas and squadron setup.
No Yavaris.
Yeah, had your virus. Oh, yeah. Had your virus.
Constant omnipresent.
it was a really fun game because it was a really. I'd selected Hyperspace Assault, I think. Tried to.
For him to drop your virus on you.
for him to drop something on me.
Okay.
And he had the AF2 with rapid launch bays, which he put stuff in, and he set aside some other squadrons. And like, we're still not really sure until the FAQ comes out how to play that card, but we agreed on this is what you do with it. But yeah, I spread out the tokens, and then he dropped his AF2 in out of Ark of the Architens, but very close to them. And could spit out the squadrons, including the ones with what's it, recon? I forget. What's the relay is the key word.
Yeah, VCXs.
The VCXs. And also have the B wings, and then have Uvaris somewhere that just lets them do their bombing runs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was there's a lot of damage potential from that sort of list. Essentially, the Architens were nailing flotillas, and then took a lot of damage off of his squadrons, but luckily stayed ever so slightly alive. The demolisher was set up.
That's all you need.
A little bit alive is still alive.
because of my number of because I could stall out his deployment. I basically set up demolisher opposite where his Uvaris was at speed 3, and then just ran down Uvaris. Blew it up.
Yes!
But of course he's got recon, so he can still use it.
Of course.
But it features some of the luckiest rolling of all time in this game, which was I activated next 2 years AF2. I put some damage cards through, but it still had full shields on the front, and my gladiator had its side arc. The side arc of the gladiator was on the front arc of the AF2, and I knew I couldn't get my front arc or the other side arc in after moving with the demolisher, and I was only single arcing him, so I was like, I've got to put through a lot of pain to kill this thing right now. But with Vader and Ordnance Experts, I managed to re-roll my dice until I got 3 blacks showing hit crit and the red showing the accuracy to stop his brace. Done a lot of damage to him, then swung round and used my rear arc with the like red and black or whatever it is out the rear of a gladiator and put the exact amount of damage I needed to clear him off the board. And then luckily his squadrons weren't in range to ambush my to jump in and take
the gladiator. So you wiped him?
So no, well, oh yeah, I did.
You say it was lucky size ever, but with the reroll for double reroll, yeah. And the fact that like it sounds like you worked it out before you did it what you needed to get.
Yeah.
So you identify the opportunity and you play to that.
Yeah.
No, fair play.
I do really like Vader. I really like Vader on a Glad 2, or Vader's ability on the Glad 2,
well,
so that you can get the red die.
I like that a lot.
Or like normally, my Jonas had died by that point, but if you can get Jonas in there.
What defense tokens do you spend on Gladiator? Because I was thinking you need them all.
If I'm that close, I'll spend the evade. But sometimes I'll spend the redirect if I've gotten to that point where I've got no useful services to redirect it.
Yeah.
I normally hold on to the brace, but because
if you're going first, you're going to get away, hopefully.
Yeah, by this point, I'd definitely taken some hull damage of some random shots here and there, and possibly some squadron work. But yeah, I was lucky to kill that, take his recon off the board that turn, and then he's just chasing down flotillas or something. And I think for like an 8-2 win, it was a really fun game. And then second game, I ran into Ricky, who had a horrible list. It's basically 2 MC-80s fully loaded with all the gizmos, Home 1 and Defiance, 3 flotillas with lots of repair crews, and
I can go through it in a bit.
A couple of VCXs.
Yeah.
But essentially, he built a wall, and we had to play an objective.
I was from.
We had to play an objective that he was going to win.
Difficult choice that one.
So I needed to. Yeah, I think if I look at it now, I should have done what Ben done and taken. Made you go first, maybe, and you had to choose
Ben
from my objectives.
Played very different. Like he just played very
cagey.
Yeah, way back.
Yeah,
he didn't come in at all.
I basically knew that this was my last game of the day because I had to go to work after. So
you
went like,
all in.
I went all in. I had to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
I got my gladiator in, and I was really happy. I was behind the one of the MC-80s. I was really happy. It's double arcing right behind one of the MC-80s. Didn't roll a single black crit.
Ooh.
And then it comes Ricky's turn to activate. We check the fire and arcs, and I was in the side arc by like a millimeter and got Akbar'd and killed off the board.
No, you didn't?
I didn't get Akbar'd. I just got double guards. Yeah.
By Defiance.
Yeah.
Grim.
Oh,
it was so grim. It was like an all or nothing.
It's not just Defiance. Yeah. It's Defiance just... that has home one bonus next to it.
Yeah.
And quad,
so bad.
The quad turbo laser cannon adds another one.
The funniest thing is, the way his ships work, one of them has engine techs. Defiance has engine techs. And home one like just sits there.
Oh, I misplaced them as well, didn't I?
And you placed them the other way around.
I completely fucked my placement.
You forgot that you'd done that, and I'd forgotten you. Yeah. I didn't realise you'd done that. I thought you'd had home one behind.
I meant to.
So I tried to assassinate home one. And then it got close. I was like, oh, I'm Justin Ark. Oh, that's Defiance.
Oh, no.
I was as shocked as he was.
The thing that was sad for me was this list was amazing. It basically beat everybody else on the day. But it was the one list out of the whole field that I reckon I had the best chance with my list.
I agree.
Because I just put three ISDs on Defiance and go, well, you're not going to survive that or regen that.
I was really worried about joining the choice.
After losing Gladiator, I basically knew it was over. The only thing I did was kill the VCXs so you couldn't mop up more points for the squadrons. Yeah. Some Arcatens were like, ah! Just... An Arcaten.
And what was it we were playing? Centernet?
Versus Akbar. I don't have a big enough gun line to take Akbar.
Yeah.
I'm going to start playing gunline again. This is the list that inspired me. But
I think.
Yeah, Akbar could.
From playing the regionals, the game I lost that I think was a 6-5 to my opponent, I can't remember exactly, was an Akbar gunline.
Now you can get accuracy. Now that sort of the accuracy stuff's come back in, people have worked on accuracy tech. I think Akbar's really good. Yeah. He suffered when Flotillas came out because you can't do that long range swirly thing. But now people have worked out.
He was suffering a bit beforehand from his inability to deal with bad dice.
Reds
are fickle. I'm a huge fan of TRC because it means if I get it, you only got six rounds, right? If you're playing X Wing, I can mess up. I'm playing maneuvers, mess up, swing back round.
If you miss that big
shots
shot,
have to count the modder. They have to.
Or the ship's gone.
Yeah, which is why you need the modification.
So that was your event, Matt.
Yep.
Who's next? Ricky? You might as well carry on. Talk about your list anyway.
Matt pretty much went over the list, but in detail, it is three transports. Two of them have repair crews. One of them has comms net,
and they just sit. They're activation stalls, right? And they strip damage off the two big ships. They give tokens, strip damage, and stall.
I did get one face up damage card through.
And I took straight off. No, I took two of them off, didn't I?
I put one through, which was like you lose a dice on attacking,
which is bad.
Yeah.
No, you did it twice.
I did it twice somehow in your deck. But then you, I was like, I've neutralised Akbar's bonus. And then you're like, repair crews, take that one off.
Yeah.
Repair crews, take that one off.
Oh! Crit's gone. The Defiance ship, which is really tooled up. So Defiance, I chucked in Ashoka Tan, is that it?
Tano.
Yeah. Tano, yeah, sorry. Engine techs, reinforced blast doors, quad turbo laser cannons, which are amazing with home one.
Yeah.
Leading shots.
Two guaranteed accuracies, right?
It is two guaranteed. And you could re-roll them.
It's an add one, isn't it?
So you can use it as a free dice.
Yeah, and if they're stupid enough to get in blue range of Defiance, you get leading shots
with a black. But with Defiance at long range, you chuck a blue in anyway, and then you can re-roll all your reds.
Yeah.
So the other one was Akbar was on there. Home one fire coordination team.
So you can double move the
VCXs because I literally only have two VCXs. The leading shots wasn't there on the other. This is the improved list.
So I just want to know.
So this is the one I was trying to kill.
Yeah, I want to know.
This is the one I ran into.
Nobody can just. I mean, I know they're 8 health, and if you go near the two big guys, then there's all the anti-air and all that. But how do people not just kill the VCXs first up?
Well, if you get
to that firing line, surely it's going
to... I was tend to hide the VCXs behind the two MCAEs and inside of the transports.
Because you've got no intel, you've got to just pin them. Just dump someone in.
A lot of dice.
Just dump someone in.
Two blues, a blue and a black, then three blacks into each squadron.
But it just put Mauler in with uses of aid token, scatter token.
No one did.
No.
No one did.
Yeah,
I killed the VCXs.
You did kill them, but I'd already made like hundreds. Like my first game, I went up against...
Because your objectives is worth mentioning, your objectives.
Oh, yeah, that's what makes it.
So you've got advanced gunnery, which you're never going to pick, because if you give Defiance with Akbar leading shots...
I really wanted that.
And home one and double turbolasers, two shots on the same ship. And then you've got Fire Lanes, which and SensorNet, which you use the VCXs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so this is like what I tried to do it.
It was like team,
but you made it better. You did it much better than I did. Well, so these are the same three objectives I was trying to make. I was saying you can either let me go first, which is a problem for you, or you can pick one of these. Let pick one of these three, all of which are massive, massive problems for you. So yeah.
Stop that for a second. So I had a counter for that time at that point. But so but I really hoped for an advanced gunnery. No one picked it. Fire Lanes and Sensor Name was picked.
Yeah, well, I'd played against you before with the Fire Lanes objective. And I was like, I just wanted to try something different and play the Sensor Net objective. And the Sensor Net objective is so much worse with your list. Like, I know they're very similar, but I feel like
Sensor Net can get crazy.
So yeah, the first game, I played a guy called Matt Bartlett, and he played with a Satyrist.
Of Western fame.
Is it? Yeah. First time I met him, nice guy. He went up against Usato, which was the first time I've really played against it.
Ooh.
And he had a Corvette, two transporters, an MC-80 as well, the standard one.
Yep.
And he also had an MC-30.
Ooh.
And his plan was obviously to use the MC-30 to start throwing out the blacks.
Yeah.
A couple of 3 X-Wings, just get in there in the way. He was unfortunate. He got another few misplacements, and I think I one-shot his MC-30. And his MC-30 got a couple of shots on me and never even got a crit from long range. Ugh. Which, again, he had re-rolls, and it just unfortunate rolls. But that
you'd have repaired it off anyway.
I board wiped him on this with this list, and I also made, like, so many points from the
mission. You maxed out 400 MOV.
So I did 600.
600.
600. Yeah, it does cap out.
Crazy.
As we've said repeatedly, Ricky, it caps out. You don't need to keep going.
Well, I like to say it was 600 points MOV on that one, if it was allowed.
Right.
But yeah, so that was
just in case you fly Defiance off the board and lose 200, you still win by 400.
That is true. Yeah.
You can't have your safety net, right?
Yeah. 200 point buffer in case he kills something.
But that's the thing when I was playing versus.
That was the point. Get enough points to cover a loss of an MC-80.
Yeah,
if you can do that.
That is it.
You can't kill an MC-80 without losing something.
I just try and cover a CR-90. That's it.
MC-80
is pushing it. I like it. And that Kabar as well.
It was a lot of points I made with
that. So you won that game, and then we've already talked about
Max,
game.
Which he got smashed with pigeons.
Big call.
Matt,
in a big spot. Yeah. I followed him out in a big spot.
You should have pre-measured, Mark. You should have set up the way round that we both thought you'd set up.
Oh, yeah.
And I should have pre-measured.
Although you'd still be in an R.
Is that deliberate to you? Is it like, I'm just going to like make him think that I've got Defiance?
It was a sheer mistake. I couldn't believe I did it. I thought that would it.
You couldn't engine text into yourself.
No, I couldn't move out.
So that you'd completely neutralise some of your upgrades. It
would be pretty terrible.
It was a plus in the end.
I think if I got behind on that double up, and it was the other ship,
I still would have put a lot of hurt in from behind.
But not dead, it's not dead.
Yeah. And then your third game, Ricky, was...
Against Ben...
Ben
Edgar.
Ben was running Medine with...
Liberty
MC-30. Similar to what we talked about.
He played... Like, we knew that we were both vying for first place. If you had not lost 10-0,
you two were top of the tables at that point.
We'd, like, max points each, I think. I think we were both 20 points down.
Yeah. No, that's correct. So, you were both 20 points. 10-0, 10-1 both of you, both games.
The ideas were that one of us needed 6 or 7. Well, in fact, anyone with a 6 would have been first. The other one would have been second.
Yeah, would have been.
He played it very, very cagey. Very cagey. He tried to just come in, what he could done. He took out all of my transports, which is what his plan was. Get the transports. He knew he couldn't do anything about the NC-80s. Do as much. We played the station. Station Assault. Is it the station?
Was it the two stations? Okay.
No, the first one. Just the one station. It's the old. So I rushed in and got that on the second.
Is that the armed station?
Yeah. No, not the armed station. It's just the old contested outpost.
He wasn't expecting a fast way to seed 80 points your opponent. I don't like it.
So I got 100 points from that one.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
But still, him king all my transports and my VCXs was quite a lot. But I won by like a really minor amount.
It was like 6-5.
It was a 6-5.
Ruining your MOV.
Ruined my MOV massively, and then I obviously lost. I come second to Matt Cook. By MOV,
hard match.
Should we say by MOV?
By MOV,
by about 100 points, was it MOV?
About 100 points,
If I took a serious list.
Yeah.
Then I'd have won. But so be it. Second place.
It's the nature of the 3-hour Swiss format, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get some weird results.
So I had taken the list that I took to my last. I took to regionals because I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it greatly. It plays exactly the way I like to play it. The way I like to play the game. And but I did tweak it after learning what the holes were. So it is 3 CR90 Corvettes with TRCs. I gave one of Jane's Light, which I wish I hadn't done in hindsight. I'll come back to that in a sec. So 3 CR90s that's with TRCs.
Is that because it compromised your bid?
It compromised the bid, yeah. The bid. So I'll say the bid was 15, which seems ridiculous. But first game had a roll-off because the opponent had also bid 15. And there was a 16-point bid on the day. So, again, Jane's Light, really great for 2 points. Doesn't come up in my games that often,
it
turns out. But it's prime bid material. So 3 TRC Corvettes. What was it?
Ammunition
with everything. Reinforced blast doors, title, APTs.
It's the standard ammunition that we've talked about Lando in as well. Previous episodes. Yes. Plus Lando.
And the reinforced blast doors. It's interesting.
It's basically unkillable.
I hadn't run it with reinforced blast doors before, and it's taking a lot of hurt. So I tried it with reinforced blast doors, and people just stopped shooting it. No one would shoot it. So it's an untouchable ship.
That's so frustrating.
You have to bump it, I think. I might start bump tactics when the new wave comes
out. But that makes reinforced blast that's why reinforced blast being better, because
but you have to kill it in one turn, you have to like mega bump it with like 3 different things.
I had ammunition the other, like the Cardiff Regional when I was running my interdict list. I had ammunition on 1 health with 1 token.
Yeah, always the way.
And then it reinforced blast doors the next.
Yeah, no.
Always gets away on 1.
It was an MT30 with a reinforced blast doors that stopped me getting top 4 at regionals. Could just get this over life, just in current condition. So, but my final compliment, it was at the regionals. Currently is Rogue. A Lancer, because it's Rogue. A YT2400, because it's Rogue. Shara and Tycho. However, I changed it up to this now. It's Shara, Tycho for the 2 A-Wings, who are run by Bright Hope. It's just Bright Hope with Slicer Tools, because no one sees Slicer Tools at the moment, and it's great. It just stops them regenning if they try that plan, stops them manoeuvring if they're trying to do sneaky things. Locks on a lot of people, and draws fire, which it almost always dies, but it draws a lot of fire as it does so. So 3 YT2400s, the 2 A-Wings to lock it down. So, first game was against Ben Riley, excellent player, local player at Bristol. he also bid 15, so it was a roll off, and I won the roll off.
You sporty,
won the coin toss, so I elected to go first because he had demolisher. Now my Corvettes can take a demolisher, but what they can't do is take a demolisher who gets to shoot twice.
Gets first, yeah.
Yeah. So it was actually a really close game. Basically, he had his 2 arcs. An ISD and demolisher. So, usually you've got to deal with demolisher first and try and kill everything else in the list to get the points back. The key points of the game were he killed Kraken quite early on. So I lost my defense, which is huge for that list because it really relies on Kraken a lot to let them get away with things they shouldn't get away with. I didn't have the choice of having my MC-30 just kill his flagship Kazanti or stay relevant to the fight and kill everything else in his list. Happy with the choice. Let his flagship go because it was an Exancy and got it into the other stuff. But ended up being I did a couple of misplays at the end. I accidentally ran myself. Just activation order. He'd already done all everything. Nothing gained. Right. Just tired and not thinking straight.
So what was the end result?
I won it 6. I think I thought it was 7-4. It looked like it might be 6-5. Not sure which scoring system we were using.
right.
But just because I ran myself, I was just within killable range of a bomber that finished me off. So. Really close game against Ben there.
Second game
was against, who's that against? Oh, it's Ben Moore, another local player. Very good. This one went exactly right. So I again had the initiative. So he had demolisher, arcs, and various bits and pieces of the back.
He's playing like VSDs and squadrons. Or
he, yeah, he had like a techie squadron build. Dengar, IG-88, Sabre squadron, Gendon, that kind of stuff. So he played very cagey with the squadrons on one side. He went hard down the flank with demo and an arc 10. And basically, what I did was I went forward with all my Corvettes to try and draw like at speed 3 and 4.
Yeah,
to draw demo out to get the first round attacking, but also shot forwards ammunition at the same time. And so Ben kind of went for the bait. I got a bit lucky with this as well because it probably shouldn't have worked, but it did. So he came in, chewed out half a CR90, which means nothing because at CR90s I get away and that will fight a long way for the rest of the game. But it pulled him in so that at the start of next turn, I just had double arc close range with ammunition. So ammunition killed Demolisher first shot of round two. So I got killed then with a free. And then the CR90s just ran around the outside and killed absolutely everything. Literally, like every time he called it midway through round three. Called the game midway through round three just because I was literally, the second I got him into range, I was killing whatever it was that was in range.
Yeah. It's grim. It's grim CR90s.
It was, you know.
Especially, yeah.
That was the big crack. He had the gun line. I really worry when I face the Arc-10s because if they roll just a little bit above the average, they just burn through in a CR90.
Was he running Vader? Sorry.
Yeah, it was Vader as well.
So they're going to roll hot. Time.
I've played Ben before with CR90s against his Arc-10s, and it's because they've got that two move. I know it's straight line of move.
Yeah.
But it lets them swing the arc so much is CR90s aren't safe. Yeah. Because they're spamming concentrate firepower and they've got the slave turrets. It's very tricky. I think the amount of time I was taking a lot of close range out the front, so I was taking blacks onto my CR90s because I was getting closer with those side arcs.
Hmm.
So as we all know from playing X-Men and Armada, it's easier to dodge the closer in you are. It's a lot riskier. It's the way I like to play.
Yeah, they've got blacks at short range, Architects.
Yeah, I was feeling that.
So you got a 10-1 in that?
Yeah, got a 10-1 on that. It was like 473 MOV or something. But again, maxing out, just like Ricky did. Not quite as impressively as Ricky did, but... and the final game, I was kind of quite interested to see if I could play against the double MC80 list. Because there's no way I can't go for it. Because my list can't win a long range.
No.
It usually can if it wants to play very skill machine, but against the regen, and there's no way it can. So it would have to have been dive everything.
Onto one.
Try and stay within his arc. Like let him get the shot onto...
And I reckon you could have shut his VCXs down pretty well with Chara.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about their short-range shots. And you're loving that, because if he chooses to shoot your fighters up, he's not shooting... There's more Corvettes, he's not shooting.
Well, then I've got three YT-2400s just pumping that rogue shot each turn. Yeah. I reckon I definitely killed one. I probably would have lost a fair bit of reply. But once one of them's gone... I mean, ammunition would have had to take the bulk of the problem damage. But I've played myself against Ricky before.
If you manage to stuff everything in the same arc, I guess you only kill one thing.
I guess with Lando, it gives your ammunition a bit of safety. Well,
it's Lando and the blasters, and in fact, it's ammunition is quite key. And it's Kraken as well, so you're already taking one off, you evade one, burn it, you take three lines off the side at long range.
I think against that list, you have to go all in and kill one.
Yeah. Well, I played against Ricky before.
And it just neutralised. The two work so well together. But if you get one off the board, then the next one is going
to... All you need to kill a CR90 is one accuracy and six damage. Assuming it's full health, one accuracy and six damage is all you need. Which is quite achievable, but that makes even a long range.
Yeah,
It'd be two because of the redirect. Two accuracies. You need eight damage.
Oh, no, sorry, I was ignoring a bait. I was thinking of closer ranges, but yeah.
He'll get that list.
He'll get the two accuracies off the foam one.
With Kraken and with the played of Radio Pop, I could possibly survive one shot, but
yeah.
I mean, I've played Ricky's MT80s before with CR90s, and I think I got one down to two hole by midway through round three, and that was after I lost half my list in the second turn. So it would have been interesting, but alas, I got to play Chris, which was quite good fun. He was running a very interesting triple Star Destroyer, so I was aware that I needed to get a 10-0 to be in contention on MOV for the first place if the other two were 6-5, which they've got a habit of doing. So,
playing each other enough.
Fair play to Chris. Chris set up kind of with a block on one side. I obviously wanted to engage him on mass and try and flank him.
Just came in with a three, didn't I?
Yeah, so he came in with a three. I managed to get around. I think the key play there was, I had to deploy all my ships first because of the Corona.
Yeah.
So I deployed in the middle in a line. Then rather than swing the line, because it would have meant I started piecemeal, I actually had the guy on the right-hand side who was kind of the middle of the wheel that had to happen with my fleet. He actually turned behind the others and then back across onto the outside. So it meant that he was going around the outside. I didn't give you a free early engage on one of the Corvettes. Bright hope threw itself in there. No, just drawing a shot off. It did, but he got murdered. One accuracy rolled and it was on a red die. I thought it was cool.
Got him at short range.
Yeah, the other one was got an IFD down to about three hull. Could have easily killed it with ammunition.
Yeah.
Oh, I had one
ISDs on ISDs.
Well, there was a point, wasn't there, where I killed two ISDs in one activation of ammunition on exactly the right damage.
Ugh.
but I set up for it. It'd have been, overkill on one of them, so the YT2400's moved across, and we've got another one down to the killable range. But I think having this just kill tally for the entire tournament was about 80% of my kills.
I think it's getting to the point where it's a little bit overpowered now. Like, it's probably better than Gladiator, I think.
Now I've got the hang of it.
Better than Demolisher.
To tech against it.
It's practically unkillable, and it can just guarantee kills. Like, flotillas guarantee them.
Yeah.
And if you go first with admonition, you're guaranteed to kill stuff. Literally, there's no way you can not do it. Yeah. It's kind of a bit too powerful now, I think.
I remember back to my first game, the 30 tried it a couple of times and hated it, because I had to make it work. And now it's like my key ship.
They are really good. Like, since Blasters came out, they've got like a bit better. Like,
yeah, because you can't even bump them out anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to get four bumps in one go. So you turn on a zombie
ramming four bumps.
I won the MOV by about 100 on Ricky. I had to fight a strong maneuver game against your ISD so it's not get popped. Because the game was saying an accuracy plus 6. That's easily achievable with a front arc.
Yeah, I went for just like tilting the line around to kind of put stuff maximising in the front arc. But because you had that stupid admonition double shot.
So for those of you who weren't there, the admonition basically ran itself into the middle of the ISD line. So you had three ISDs in a line. It kind of pushed the middle one back slightly, and it was double arcing the other two. So hold them in place, so the CR90s were able to maintain their range because admonition was in there taking the bumps. And obviously getting double arc two turns in a row was huge.
It's just going first. Like, if I'd gone first, I probably could have shot admonition away.
That's why I bid 50. If I played a game, would drop down as light, bid 70.
Why I think I'm 17 points.
It's
getting stupid.
There needs to be a cap on it. Where, like, after you bid 15, it's a dice roll amount of how many you bid.
Yeah, that was good. So you got 10.
That's not a bad suggestion, FFG. I know, we all know you listen to our words.
I think bids should be allowed free range.
Just keep going.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because there'll be a point where it shifts back again.
Do you reckon you could win just playing Abolition?
Probably.
Just goes to be four. Running, kill one thing.
You're almost
and run
better
away.
Off playing Abolition because you're not having other stuff that they can kill. Because they're not going to kill Abolition.
Well, Abolition with Kraken just starts.
And
the
a bid. Yeah.
just
and a,
just
and a 295 point bid.
Maneuver, engineering. Done. Nip in, kill, was it 60 points?
And 134 points of VCXs, just to get some tokens.
No, they're killable though, I don't like it.
Oh, you can't do it at 134 points, because if you're doing...
it caps on the limit of the list, doesn't it? Or is it
totally... It's a limit.
Fair.
So do 134 VCXs, admonition, and 120 point bid.
Right.
And you probably wouldn't ever lose any. You'd only win like 6-5 or 7-4, you'd never lose any.
More importantly, if you've ruined the game for your opponent,
negative player experience.
Slice of tools will come back in a big way.
Yeah.
That's why I do like my slice of tools. That's why I have it. Because it's just
maybe take a shuttle with flotillas with Leia as well.
It's so much fun when someone's got you Varus and you just I'll slice that. Whilst it's Recon, I'm still going to slice you then. It's beautiful.
All right. That was the Q1. So we've got another one in a couple of weeks being run by us.
It's a fix.
Are you gonna try hard again on that, Matt?
Well,
are you gonna prove you're a good player by playing lists you've not played before?
I'll play something different.
I've taken that list to two kits
every tournament ever.
To one kit where I first tried it out. Then to a regional where they did surprisingly well with it, and then this one just to kind of finish it off.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it now. It's still by far my favourite list to play in Armada. I think it's a really fun manoeuvre player list with a lot of firepower as well. And it does, like, if you make a mistake, it will punish you. But
not very hard, though.
No, I don't know.
you lose to 51 points or
something. Yeah, some of those Corvettes can. Yeah, but then you lose your 10-1.
Yeah, sounds like a really hard list.
How are you going to compete with Ben and Ricky if you don't get your 10-1s in?
Well, if you get them against them.
Yeah, good luck with that. Start with their standoff shenanigans.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Wave 6.
Woo!
More exciting.
Very exciting.
Getting me more excited.
With the new
stuff.
Right. The ship that basically...
What's the first one in the article?
In the article?
The
It's the Quasar Fire Class Imperial Light Cruiser.
Okay, so what can we see from the picture? Let's do all the cars that we know fully, all of them so far.
So, just look at the picture here. So, for those people who haven't come across this ship before, I believe it is in the Rebels as well. I haven't seen it since that point.
Yeah, so we think, we were talking about this earlier in the week, and we think that it's the ship that in Series 2, we don't do too many spoilers, but it basically gets boarded in Series 2 and nicked. And there's a lot of board. There's a boarding action theme with what race is Ahsoka Tano?
She's not Twi'lek, is she?
like, I think her dad is in one of these sets.
Okay,
her dad is the character in the Rebel in the Hammerhead set.
Yeah,
and he leads a boarding action. I think
very cool.
So I think this is all themed around that episode of Rebels.
I clearly need to rewatch some Rebels. So this ship did first appear.
Ahsoka Tano is a Togretta female.
That's the one. So, yeah, this ship first appeared initially, as far as I'm aware, in, like, the 90s PC game, Star Wars Supremacy.
Right.
Internationally, it was called Star Wars Rebellion, which is now a board game. in the UK, it was called Star Wars Supremacy. And it was a Rebel fighter carrier, pure fighter carrier. It would just get minced. They have even like a raider would just ruin this thing. But it seems to be more balanced now for the purposes of this game. So, it's seen a lot in Rebel hands, but in Armada, it is currently an Imperial ship.
So it looks like it's got a massive front arc, ridiculously wide.
Not unreasonable for the triangle shape it has.
No, absolutely. And it's got six hull.
Yeah.
It's got a brace and a redirect.
So it's got six hull, two shields front and side, one shield rear. It's got...
And it's medium base, which you can't tell from the picture, but it tells you it's medium.
Yeah,
it's the same size as a VSD.
Yeah. Well, it's a big carrier. So the front arc is two reds, one blue.
Or three blue for the other variant.
Side arc, one red, one blue.
Can't see what they are.
Presumably double blue.
Yeah.
And the rear arc is one blue. So it's not going to be winning any firefights. We haven't got a points cost yet.
It's got one red AA.
One red AA. That's huge. That's the best part.
What's the thing I'm excited about, though, is the stat is four squadron, right?
Yeah. Two command, four squadron, two engineering.
So hopefully, if the points of this is somewhere between 50 to 60, then you can run it as a carrier. I'm really looking forward to running this.
It needs to be cheaper being than able two, to it run. Needs to be cheaper than two Gazantes. Or similar.
Well, you know, because you get the four in the same action. You get the same activation. There's power in getting the four. And if it's got flight controllers...
But you've lost your... you haven't got scatter spread across two ships.
Yeah, but who cares? It's got more damage.
And the activation power as well.
Shuttles. Activation power. I'm just looking forward to doing something different. Because it's got guns as well, because anti-really can actually do something when it gets close.
As a predominantly Kraken player, I'm not familiar with Gazantes being able to shoot. Ever.
You might be able to get these boarding teams.
Speaking of boarding teams, that's the next...
What's this one? So this
boarding troopers, it is a gunner, an offensive retrofit and...
Gunnery team? Weapons team.
Weapons team.
Yeah.
So it's a dual slot upgrade, which is a theme we're seeing in this wave of Armada and X-Wing. Is upgrade to take two slots. So this is 3 points, so super cheap, two slots. When you reveal a command, you may discard a squadron dial or token and this card to choose one enemy ship at close range. Choose and spend a number of its defence tokens up to your squadron value. Now, my understanding is when it says spend, that can include the red ones. So you can spend their red ones.
Yeah.
So if they only use them, those tokens are gone now.
Yeah.
That's good crap.
And the key synergy here is the other card I'm going to roll into it.
Sloane.
Admiral Sloane. 24 points, so cheap. That's like Motti level cheap.
Yeah.
While a friendly squadron without Rogue is attacking, it may spend one die with a accuracy icon to choose and spend one of the defender's defence tokens. While attacking a ship, it may also reroll one die with the crit icon.
So this is pointless with Imperial bombers, right? TIE bombers.
Yeah, because you get no accuracies,
and the crit's already a hit crit.
TIE swarm.
And you bear in mind that boarding troopers you just looked at there, we can spend any number. So your boarding troopers can spend them all to red, and then each TIE that shoots it gets an accuracy. That token's gone.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm definitely going to start taking out some TIE swarms again.
It's going to be cool.
But yeah, and cheap as well, which is always what I like to see with Devils.
And somebody mentioned as well in the week, TIE Phantoms, because they have two reds. Do they have two reds against ships?
It does have two reds against ships.
Yeah, so your accuracies can burn stuff. There's only one accuracy, but the crits, you can re-roll the crits if you wanted to.
Because
they're not bombers, so you can re-roll the crits.
If you get double damage, then you're laughing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it'd be cool.
Phantom Swarm would be so cool when it's like cloak.
But honestly, if you got blue anti-ship dice, then every side is usable, even if it's just a reroll.
Yes.
There's no blank bunny ears on the blank side.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this ship. Yeah. This ship, because it means you don't have to run big things. You don't have to run ISDs or VSDs as carriers.
Yeah.
So it might make a multiple small unit thing with squadrons viable. Yeah. Like I was running in the campaign with Ozzel. That kind of, but with squadrons as well.
My next thought would be, but once your TIE Swarms possibly body part, because the TIE Swarm itself could just be pinging off these fence
about if you get enough accuracy.
Even without boarding party.
Yeah, yeah.
But what? How are you going to finish that ship off? So you've got an ISD, you take his tokens out, okay, now you've just got TIE's attacking it, and presumably that's assuming you haven't got their fighters coming in to mess you up.
Oh yeah, you need other stuff, but the list I had, you'd probably have demo or some raiders in there, or you might have some Arctens in there as well. So there'd be lots of activations.
A couple of Arctens.
Yeah.
What was the range on boarding parties again? Just close
range. Yeah. So black range.
Yeah.
So what? Right. Is there any other Imperial cards we can see?
We don't know how fast the ship is or what sort of manoeuvres.
I hope it's three.
Right.
I think for a carrier, I think that's probably unlikely.
I reckon it might be two.
Okay, it might be two. So, yeah. But I think the red anti-squadron is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a huge range.
But it does look...
Look at the size of the front arc, though.
It's crazy.
Do you reckon you might be able to catch somebody out with an advanced gunnery team on this?
Gunnery teams?
No, the objective. Just like anti-squadron, two reticents.
Yeah, that would be quite cool. It looks like they've released these photos before they wanted to, because Ben noted in the week that the card just below the where the command squadron and engineering stats are, the quad battery turrets, is the same picture as in the Rebel one, but it has a different name. Called quad, if you get it up, I think it's called quad something.
The one that intrigues me is the one over here called, this, it starts with disposable and there's pictures that it's small or medium ship only.
And no, what about this one I was talking about in the week, but nobody seemed to care.
The Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah, you can see his lightsaber. It's like double lightsaber in the corner.
Blank, blank, blank. Distance, blank.
Speed, you make blank. This card decrease. So I think I reckon he might like decrease he's discard.
Another close range. Yeah, like board Inquisitor.
Yeah. Okay. But because he's at close range, I reckon he might decrease the speed by one.
Ooh.
But because he's discard, he might not have the restriction, which is not below one, because he's a once per game
thing. Very cool.
So they might balance it by saying he's that. So that would be awesome, because you could track to beam interdictor and then chuck the Grand Inquisitor on.
Looks like I better set my Corvettes to speed 4 out the start of the game anyway.
The interdictor.
It was fun watching you using three tractor beams just to like take the token off, get to speed 3, get to speed 2.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Just stop the obstructed.
Kraken can't deal with that.
So
that
what's the next card?
That's sort of the end of the
Imperial.
Should we talk a bit more about that Imperial before we move on to the Hammerheads?
Yeah. I mean, I've said what I want to say about it. I think it's going to be a good combo with instead of having to take VSDs, I want to take it in multiple small units with squadrons.
Yeah. No, I'd be quite keen to see that. I think hopefully we'll see a bit of a TIE fighter come back,
because it looks like it can take flight controllers as well.
I think it's going to be the key.
Yeah,
is it going to be what you take it? Can you take fighter coordination as well? Maybe,
possibly.
So we could be looking at
the Grand Inquisitor's got to be either an officer or a support team. Not a support team. Probably an officer.
The question is going to be like, is this better than your fireball or your roamable?
No, but it's different. I don't care whether it's better.
But in terms of the impact it's going to have on the meta.
Oh right, yeah. It's not the level of Roma, I don't think.
Because
Rhymer with Sloane,
if you bear in mind,
Rhymer with Sloane and loads of ties becomes crazy, because you just rip all the defence tokens off and then Rhymer everything.
So especially if you're just going to be a new Rhymer. Yeah.
Because I reckon you could take a really good build, which will be this.
It'll be this
with flight controllers and TIE fighters, so you can alpha strike their TIE fighters.
Does Jonas work on fighters?
You don't need Jonas.
No, it's just ships.
You don't need Jonas, you're just ripping defence tokens off with Sloane. You don't need to accuracy.
Defence tokens,
accuracy turns into a spend anyway. Yeah, so,
exactly.
I reckon it just makes Rhyme a ball even better.
Are there any non-rogue Imperials with two blue dice anti-ship? Because Fire Spray's a rogue, aren't they?
Yeah, Devastator's a rogue. Let me open my folder.
Decimators.
No, not on that page. Marek Steele has two blues.
Okay.
Yeah.
he's not a rogue.
Yeah.
But only but him. But the normal defenders only have one. Maybe but the Phantoms do have two reds. The
Phantoms
which is cool.
would be
just tie swarm it and just hope you don't see a mauler. It's so filthy.
Be for the mirror match. Okay, so, anybody, what else do you want to say about
that? I was just going to say, is there anything else we can see in that? Because we can see two titles.
Grand Inquisitor.
Strut and Skip. If you want to make a bold prediction as to what the titles be.
Let's not even go there. Okay. I think it might be a bit weaker because it's only got one redirect, one brace.
Oh yeah,
you can lock that brace pretty easy. And
it's gonna, yeah, you definitely got to protect it, same with maybe a fighter screen.
Well, what is this whole value again?
Six.
Okay. Should we move on to the other part of the article?
Yeah, so the next one is the ship that I think a lot of people started looking at Armada after watching Rogue One just because of this ship.
That is cool. We won't. I mean, if you haven't seen Rogue One by now, like, and you're listening to Star Wars, what are you doing? So we will spoil this.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, you will have seen it.
This
right?
is your official spoiler alert. And
it's nearly out of the
DVD. If you're listening to episode 7 of a Star Wars like niche game podcast and you haven't seen the main release,
but maybe there's someone like, whoa, right. There's movies about this game.
Well, we gave a spoiler warning like 2 minutes ago. So if they're still listening even now, then
Hammerhead,
it's their fault.
Hammerhead Corvette's expansion pack.
How cool is this?
It's excellent. So the Hammerhead Corvette, obviously the ship that's called up to ram that ISD into the other ISD, take down the gate. Allowing all the evacuation shuttles to get down to get the team out. Oh no! Wait a minute. That's not how it went, was it? That's all right. They didn't bother evacuating. They just hugged each other and got murdered.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, excellent play by the Hammerhead commander there, smashing those ISDs apart.
Death Star.
But don't start thinking that these kind of start one shotting multiple ISDs.
No, I mean they couldn't bring that in because that would completely destroy the balance. Right?
I think you'll bear in mind these ISDs were taking a lot of flak already. They had a bombing run by unopposed bombing run by like Nora Wexley come in and hit them with special munitions.
They got iron cannon as well, so they couldn't move, didn't they?
Yeah, it was the iron bombs up the Y wings.
Yeah, that's right.
Which means the shields must have been down. So there's
already.
Do you reckon Jacken will get a
hashtag kill steam?
Anyway,
Jacken will get a bomb an ion of cannon effect.
We'll put our
that reduced speed.
Put our fluff boner away and talk about the stats.
So this ship, interesting. Before we get into the ship, comes as a 2-pack.
Yes, that is, and the small based.
So the cynic in me is saying I'm going to want 3 of these.
Yeah, so they're making me buy.
No.
Or there's an upgrade.
The reasonable man.
There's an upgrade in there, like TRCs or something that you definitely want on all of them. Like it's a standard build on all of them, and you get one per pack.
Yeah.
And you want 4 of them, so you have to buy 4 packs and just chuck 8 ships away.
we're all already buying 2 of everything that comes out. So maybe they bought this expansion and being like. Well, we'll just the 1 pack, it'll cover all your needs for this Corvette thing.
I saw somewhere online that there's potential, given like it's a ramming ship, that they have a way they work in pairs.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a special ability.
Yeah, so this behind...
Because it says task.
There's 2 task force cards.
Ugh.
So, we think it might be a task force being more than 1 ship.
Well, it's like, while another something, copy another something, distance to something.
Yeah. So maybe get their dial as well.
So perhaps it's like you get to activate them both at the same time or something.
Yeah.
To like ram them in.
That'd be cool, Or they can share command tokens.
Maybe the ram really works. Maybe you can move them with the ram if there's 2 ram in it. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait for that.
I think what would be fair for them is if when they ram, they don't take damage. I think that would be fair.
That'd be nice.
But if they get rammed, they still take damage.
Yeah, I thought their ramming was that they take face down and the opponent takes face down.
Yeah, that's a title for a specific ship.
But they are still taking damage, you're right.
So, right.
But they're still taking damage.
Yep.
But I think a fair static thing for them would be when they ram, and as long as you can't give them engine text.
That would be a bit mad.
I think it might just get too abusable if it was like ram and not take damage.
So, they're flimsy, aren't they? It looks like they're speed 3.
Onto the ship itself, it's got firing arcs that look similar to that of a CR-90. However, it's got shields 3 at the front, 1 at the sides, 1
at
the back.
Is it 3 or is it 2 on the dial? They set the dial to 3, but 2 is on the car.
FFG sneaky salesman.
I honestly think these are because I don't know, there was an event in Vegas, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and a load of stuff got leaked, or they released it voluntarily to people.
Images
got leaked.
Get out, and then they rush out an article because they prepare these articles, but they don't fully proofread them for months in advance.
Exactly.
They prepare them, and then something leaks, and then they like rush it out because this is what happened with the last wave as well.
Yeah,
and it's like, but then
so because if you look, like I said, the is it called? Yeah, it's quad battery turrets, and it's called like turret battery or something in the previous thing. So the same, it's the same picture. So
the ship itself has got two shields on the front, one shield on each side, one shield on the back. It's got a hull of 5, I think.
Yeah.
So it's clearly like more hull than it probably should for RAM purposes. But its shields are weaker than the
SCR-90. It's got no rear battery as well.
So, but battery dice. So the guns out the front are double red, blue. Sides are one blue. No shots out the back. And on the other variant, it's red, blue, black out the front. One black out the sides, nothing out the back. Anti-squadron is, there's a blue and a black anti-squadron variant. You were saying about the tokens?
Yeah, because I thought initially that they had different defence tokens for different things, but you can see that there's two of those, two redirects and two contains. So they have one each, obviously.
Yeah, so we're saying that's a redirect, an evade and a contain.
I mean, strictly weaker. It's better at close range, but weaker long range than a normal Corvette because you're swapping an evade.
The thing about mine, the Corvettes just die at close range. Like they just die.
Yeah. So it's strictly weaker. It's basically weaker than a normal Corvette.
Unless, of course, you can give them Kraken. But no, I digress.
And there's Leia as a general, right?
Yeah, Leia as a general. There isn't a pick of her, and it's quite hard to make out. I think, Matt, you had a good crack at this one, didn't you?
No, Ben sharpened the image.
You can read it from there.
I think Ben sharpened the image, and we've got translation.
That's some next level spy shit. I like it.
Can you read it from here? So it says, when a friendly ship...
I'm going to go...
That's far likely, yeah.
I'm going to go off what Ben said.
So that's official right there. For Commonwealth exclusive, Leia will affect friendly ships.
Wait.
Is it something like...
I've got to read through all the chat. Maybe go on to the next card.
Declares a command by spending a command dial. If it has not resolved another command this round, it may resolve that command as if it had a matching command token. If it does, that ship cannot resolve additional commands this round. So it's like a Remus Antilles for everybody, but you can only do one command per turn. You can't spend a token. You can't do your command dial with a token and spend a different token at the same time, is what it's saying.
For 38 points.
It's expensive.
Yeah, that's Akbar level.
But Remus Antilles, you think how powerful Remus Antilles is?
Yeah, he's good.
Think how powerful he is.
Yeah, but...
Although part of Remus being good is that you can save the tokens can't save the tokens.
I want to say she might be great in a generalist list. I mean, you've got Sato, but you've got Ahsoka slaying with tokens now. You've got Cobb, is it Cobb, yeah. Isn't it? You push tokens. Yeah, yeah. So maybe if you token game, I know a lot of Ben and Ricky quite keen on their token pushing game.
It's so a maybe, strong maybe that'll really get flexible. It's flexible. What other cards have they shown? Because they've shown another... There's a couple of cards they've actually shown. We've got
boarding something.
We've got these in the next images.
If you want to go back to that before we go on to the next images, they do have... it begins Cham, and you can see he's Ahsoka's dad.
Oh, that's Cham Syndulla, yeah.
He's Ahsoka's dad.
And you've got Hondo and Akka as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're from Rebels, both from Rebels, right?
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
Cham seems to take up the same slot as Boarding Party does.
What does he do?
He's a double slotted guy. And you were saying from that episode where
I think he leads the Boarding Party, or he leads the attack on the Imperial freighter, I think.
I wonder if Task Force is about using these Boarding Parties in cooperation.
Well, they're two Task Forces, aren't they?
You round them with a hammerhead as you give them a Boarding Party. I like that.
Great.
I like that a lot. But, well, they control our ammunition, but guess what's happening then?
But
go on to the stuff we can see.
So actual thing, we've got external racks, which is a missile slot or torpedo slot.
Yeah.
While attacking at close range, you may discard this card to add two black dice to your attack pool for 3 points.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's expanded. It's a one-shot expanded launchers, but most games you only do expanded launchers once anyway. Yeah,
it's 2 points less than APT.
Yeah.
Are
you ever going to take?
Unless they bring out, unless this hammerhead has double torpedo slots.
If it
might have that, at which point you could take your APT and this.
Yeah,
Or you could take your external, or you could take your expanded launchers in this.
That's expensive.
Really expensive, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to get used much, is it?
No, I'm not sure it's going to get used unless they have a double slot like the Liberty has.
I would say for that point, you could afford to kind of like, I've got a slot spare, I'll put it on. But bid being so key, a 3 points is huge.
What colour would the AA dice? Because I'd be tempted to put on that card that came out last round if they've got black AA at all.
Blue. No. Oh, it was got black.
Was the black.
Okay. Yeah. So then I'd be tempted to put the...
Because you could use it on a one shot to kill a squadron. You get three black dice on one squadron, one shot.
No, I'd be tempted to put on that other upgrade that you can spend the crit to toggle a squadron activation.
Oh, yeah.
Because if someone's going to...
Flechette.
Yeah, Flechette. Yeah. That's the one. If squadron's strong, then if I've got a ship with black AA...
There's no way.
Well,
even I had to start spending like 60 points on squadrons.
Squadrons are strong. Okay.
What's next?
Okay. So it's a title, Garrel's Honor. 4 points, Hammerhead title. It's an excellent artworker, which is absolute cream and Xanti.
Yeah, smash it to pieces.
Like you thought it was a present into the IFC, and it's not coming back.
Are you sure that was intended? Is it just not bad driving? Was it like the cockpit is in the wrong place?
Yeah, it
just
is.
Happens to
it is the blind spot, you're right.
Just
Chopper's got hold of the controls.
So, chaps, you do know you have guns, right? So the text is, when you overlap an enemy ship, the enemy ship suffers a face-up damage card instead of a face-down damage card. So basically, you ram
4 points.
You ram on a crit into them. Oh, I really want to have engine text on this.
I really think it would be not great.
But looking at how strong it is in terms of defensive stuff, like if speed 3 with engine text allowable, I think would probably be about the right point. Because
everyone plays Recon for a few weeks.
Oh no! Okay, yeah. If you take Recon out, you have so many more interesting things.
Hurrah from the game.
Did we get anything else?
Boarding engineers.
Yeah.
When you reveal a command, you may discard a squadron dial or token, and discard or token and discard to choose one enemy ship at close range. It's face down damage cards and flip a number of them face up to your engineering value one at a time.
That could be insane.
So if you put...
Well, it's a bit pricey.
If with normal hammerheads...
2 points.
2 points.
But you're taking 2 cents.
And you have to discard the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay, so say you've got an ISD and you've got like 6 damage on it.
Yeah, but it's like...
Instantly you inflict 6 crits.
But I'd love to ram...
If you get all your hammerheads... Ooh. Your hammerheads just ramming something. Because the untitled ones, putting all the face down damage cards on an ISD... And then rock up with something that can flip them all up, and then you're like, and it says one at a time, so I guess I think flip up.
I think the one at a time bit is so there's no, it ignores any rules clash you have about multiple damage cards at the same time. You as a player just resolve it, you don't first fully resolve it. That's there for.
I think it'd be quite cool if you can drop a couple like on Admonition or something or a virus or whatever, and then pile in with this and flip them face up.
Before they can get their blast doors off.
I've immediately got a rules question on this one. I exactly stopped trying to fast working. So my immediate rules question is: so I look at the fish line damage cards, and then I basically play in their crit effect one at a time.
Yeah.
Does my opponent get to know what's on them as I start resolving the crit effects?
What do you mean? So on the rest of them?
Only you look at them.
Because maybe there's an interplay there. There's one that drops some shields and one that drops shields regenerate. So if he doesn't know what's coming, he may make different choices.
You look at them, I think.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And I assume you've got a hand of like these 6 cards. I mean, you almost play Destiny at that point. I'm
ambivalent about this. I'm sure there is a great combo and I want to make it work. But at the same time, if something's got loads of damage on it, it's probably in trouble anyway. Yeah. So do you really need... I guess it could finish something that's about to get away, I guess.
I guess if you ram the ship... And
you've got two
hammerheads, right? So you ram them with one. Hopefully they've shot maybe one damage to a shield side as they go. Or hit them with a TRC core, take the shields down, put another couple on, ram them for two. So it's only 4 damage cards on the ISD. I still got those other shields up. It's not worrying too much.
Yeah.
But then maybe you see X-57s come back in as well. Poke damage cards in. And then sneak in for the crits.
This jumps out to me as more of an Imperial card than a Rebel card, if I'm honest. Because of the slots, because it takes up weapons team and offensive. And how many rebel ships have weapons team and offensive? Just these new ones.
I'm assuming these ones will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it, I think.
Yeah.
Have we missed
one? So what's their engineering? Do we get an engineering value for them? I don't think we've got an engineering value yet.
No, all the stuff is covered on the... More stuff is covered on the...
I'd imagine it might be 3, is my guess.
Yeah, it makes sense, because they're... robustly built or whatever for ramming.
I mean, look at the amount of plate metal on the front of our thing.
What if you load up VSDs with Borden engineers?
That's what I mean. I think they're an Imperial
just car. Pile in.
Just put bumps on stuff with like
squadron value of VSD 3.
Yeah. But it's not your squadron, it's your engineering value, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's squadron in there.
That's the
it's the amount of cards you flip.
That's
up
the boarding.
Boarding engineers.
Oh, is it squadron?
Oh, no, sorry, engineering value. Yeah.
You have to spend the squadron check because, otherwise, obviously, that's your shuttles that you're launching to get your guys, your boarding torpedoes.
So it's almost like they assume that people are just spamming squadron's commands anyway. But no, I do like the fluff side that I'm launching the actual shuttles carrying the boarding
torpedoes. This can't fit on an interdictor, can it? Because it hasn't got the right slot. It
doesn't have a weapon
system. It's got crazy engineering value.
Yeah,
but why would you
run into it?
This card will not fix.
Yeah, so whilst I like the Hammerhead Corvettes, and everybody wanted them after Rogue One, and they are awesome.
You're worried.
I'm worried for the game because Rebels already just do multiple small unit Corvette spam.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any more of that. I don't need any more of that. No one needs any more of that.
I need more of it. I want to vary my list.
Something different. But I am excited about the double upgrade slots because I think that's cool.
Yeah,
it means you can make cards cheap.
It's a very
you can make good cards well. Cheap. So good cards like that don't get used very much because they're too expensive could now be used. But all these cards, could be fall into that category because you're paying the cost by having the upgrade slots rather than the cost of the points.
If they've got a squadron like list, I can't. I need to just slice them into squadrons now because they might pop on those on me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Hammerhead Corvettes could help deal with the flotilla meta a bit. Because they'll just do what that Gavel's Hunter is. They just fly straight through the middle and just annihilate them.
Yeah, but then five hull with one shield on the side, one redirector. That's only again six in accuracy.
Yeah, yeah.
To the side.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm more excited about the Imperial one, if I'm honest. But I think they've got some cool. Like, I'm hoping that Leia mixes things up a bit. She's a bit too expensive. I hope she's cheaper than that in the final cut. I hope this is like a pre-version.
Yeah.
And then the Rebel characters as well, I'm hoping they're cool. And the Task Force, bringing a new mechanic in, which should be cool.
And this was at Q2 2017, so...
June.
What do you guys think of the chance of them releasing other ships into this wave, as has been done previously? Like a wave 8?
It would be called a different wave. They might release them simultaneously, but they call it a different wave, I think.
So
but I don't think it needs anymore, because there's so many upgrades with it. It'll shape the meta up, for sure. You don't need to worry about it.
But does this mean Admiral Radish? Admiral will be that ship.
That's got to come out in the future. Apparently it's a Monk Owl. I thought it looked like a Dauntless Cruiser to me, but although I don't know, it's played a game.
Yeah, don't ask me, I've got no clue.
But either way, it went toe-to-toe with two ISDs. So that was quite cool. I mean, it had a lot of other fleet to it as well, but...
Yeah.
Except that, ISDs.
Yeah. So overall verdict on Wave 6.
It looks cool.
Thumbs up, I think it looks cool.
A bit... until they spoil more of like what the maneuver chart and that looks it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Phoenix Home, it was something that looked cool, added a new mechanic, cool new mechanic, but I feel like it gets screwed out of the game because of it's so slow.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it's favoured to be more maneuverable.
Hoping that because
I'm looking at those new mechanics the same way I looked at the new mechanics that Phoenix Home bought. And you think, this is cool. This combos with this, and
it just doesn't
feel like it adds consistency.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really do anything about squadrons, but hopefully, it might be a few new different ways to play. Yeah. Like, it won't just be a rhymeable with rhyme. It'll be rhymeable with more ties and tie swarms and phantom swarm. And Sloane will be cool because she might be a cool new vibrant admiral. So it won't just be Motti every time.
I'm quite keen to try the tie swarm. I think it's quite versatile.
Yeah, it is massive.
And if you want to win a tournament,
if you put flight control, I know they want you to put the boarding pins on, but if you put flight control on that, and you have two of them, you've got nine, potentially ten flight squadrons if you've got tokens. Ten TIE fighters with four dice each.
Don't forget
Howl Runner in as well for five, and with rerolls for swarm.
Don't forget to bring your flotillas.
Amazing.
I like the idea of phantom spam since you mentioned that.
That would be cool. I'd like to try that. Yeah, the phantoms are they're cool on paper, aren't they? But they just don't quite do what you want them to do in practice. But with Sloane, they might well be strong. Any final thoughts on that?
No, that's hopefully we'll see some more spoils over the coming time. I'm not sure we will, but hopefully we'll get a bit more.
Yeah.
No, they'll definitely spoil more. Before it gets released, but
They'll do a preview article on task forces, probably, won't they?
Oh, yeah. And you get to all these interesting combinations that will turn out to be not game legal when it actually releases. So that's how FFG does in there.
Like the XX9s.
Yeah, the best one ever was the bombing with the K-Wing in an X-Wing. Where like half the article just turned out to be not applicable to the game.
Was that in X-Wing?
It was, yeah.
Really? That's Muppets. All right. Great. Okay. We'll move on to the final part of the episode now. So we're going to do the categories of upgrades that we did not review last time. So just a reminder of the format. We're not going through every individual one here. We're just picking each category, and we're picking around about three or less if it's a smaller category, maybe a few more if it's a bigger category, of our favourite, not just our favourites, but stuff we think is best, to help you, one, understand why these things are good, and be prepared for the meta, two, prepare for the meta as well. So you might not, again, you don't have to use these things to do a good list, and I'm sure there is undiscovered things out there, but these are ones that are generically good for their points value, and therefore you will see a lot of them on the table. You'll have to prepare for them, and you'll have to understand how they work, why they work, why they're good. So last time we covered off all the three types of weapons, the offensive retrofit, and the weapons teams, all the offensive type stuff. Nice. Now we've got the remaining categories.
Woo!
So a reminder again, we're not doing anything faction specific. This is all neutral. We'll start on the factions next episode. So as a result, some of the teams are a little bit meh, because most of the good officers are in the factions. We'll do our best. I mean, there are tons of officers. But it is quite hard to pick out three good ones that are quite meta-defining. I think I've got a little brief list here. So Ricky's had to go. You might realise you've not heard him for a while.
Yeah,
he had childcare issues.
Yeah,
so he's gone. But before he left, he picked out his top three, which was Flight Commander.
Oh, it's a given.
Intel Officer and Skilled First Officer. So we'll look at Flight Commander first. Now, I would argue it's not one of the best ones because it's so specific, but it is amazing at what it does.
Yeah.
So it's 3 points. During your activation, you can resolve your squadron command after you execute a maneuver. So what this lets you do is get your range back up after you've moved. So you can move, get stuff back in range, and then do your squadron. It also combos with fighter coordination team, which will come. That's the key combination, because it lets you move them one.
Yeah.
And then if you're your virus, you can double tap with them with your squadron after you've done your move, because the fighter coordination team triggers after your ship moves, not at the start of the squadron thing. So, I mean, we need to talk about fighter coordination team, which is the next category. So we'll come on to that when we come on to that. But I think it's amazing because of the combo, but I don't think there's a standalone upgrade.
Only 3 points.
It's not. And it is only 3 points.
I mean,
And mainly you see this on your virus, right?
You can see some of that. I mean, that's obviously the key build, is compared with fighter coordination team with anything, well, particularly with your virus. But there's also a little bit of money in the fact that, like, usually you'd have to shoot your ship. Usually you'd have to, like, shoot your fighters, then shoot your ship.
Yeah.
This would let you shoot your ship, move your ship, then do your fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've got something that's close to death, you can meet out the damage more easily. Maybe get a few points of damage out of your fighters through this.
But it doesn't go on many things, because there aren't a huge amount of ships that have officer and support team slots. No. Especially not in Imperials.
Good.
In Rebels there are.
Yeah, you don't get that particular combo much.
Yeah.
Outside of your Varus.
Yeah. So that's Flight Commander.
Man loves what he loves.
And you get that in the, I think it's just the Interdictor, right?
The key selling point.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, that's the only reason you buy multiple Interdictors.
There's,
And
the coming Interdictor meta, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Get ready, folks.
Okay, the second one, unless you guys have got anything more to say about that.
No,
it's pretty straightforward.
Yep. I've got an honourable mention for after these three.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely do, because there's plenty of these.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got Intel Officer. While attacking, after you roll your attack pool, you may exhaust this card to choose one defence token. If that token is spent during this attack, discard that token. So one of the things with this is, because it's after you roll your attack pool, this got pointed out to me by that that German guy who came in as a ringer and just beat us all in one tournament. To be fair, he knows the rules and activations inside out. Because it's after you roll your attack pool, you have to do it before you spend all your dice and all your fancy bits and pieces.
Fair.
So technically, if you start modifying your dice and then you do this, you can't. You've missed your window.
Oh.
So you have to do that. You have to pick this before you can re-roll and seal your fancy bits and pieces.
Right. Still a fantastic card.
Yeah, 7 points. And what you used to see this on is when there's a big ship meta, just for making taking braces, like making braces one use only.
Pull that brace out.
You don't see it much nowadays, I guess.
No, a lot of people like to put it on Gladiator, Demolisher.
Right.
And I think that is cool because it burns the ship's brace. Because Demolisher will do like 7, 8, 9 damage when it shoots, but it doesn't normally get accuracies, so you'll brace them.
Yeah.
So you're only taking 4 damage in the and the APT.
It's quite nice pseudo accuracy.
It's just really expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, and with a lot of the good.
And when I've had it used
faction
on me,
officers.
Yeah. There's a lot of good faction officers, and when I've had it used on me, I've been like, okay, I won't spend that token now.
You have to get a good dice pool. Yeah, you have to combo it with a good dice pool, which you can with Demolisher and Ordnance Experts, because you're re-rolling all the blacks.
Yeah.
So I personally think Intel Officer's more of a ubiquitous, better card than Flight Commander, just because it goes on more stuff.
It used to be back in Wave 1, you could stick it on, was it Salvation there'd be?
Yeah.
You have a couple of their bees running together with Intel Officers, and they would just burn through the front of Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Like leave the side shields attached. You get an accuracy, you got your intel, and just burn through.
I used to like it on ISDs with the Ion Cannon that we talked about, the wild card last episode, where the accuracies count as hits. You don't need the accuracies. You just put this on their brace and say, well, here's 10 damage from my front arc of my ISD.
Yeah.
Do you want to use your brace on it
and
lose it forever? Or do you want to take 10 damage to your front arc?
I'm interested to see how it plays long range against flotillas.
Yeah. Yeah, because you one shot on your scatter.
Yeah.
Because the thing with flotillas as well, if you don't scatter, you're dead, basically.
But they've got the evade, so you need other dice to play as well.
Yeah, you need an accuracy. You can let them evade one.
Two reds, at least.
Yeah, you can't do it on one die. You need a big pool, but you're right, it would mitigate those flotillas. But then often the flotillas only have one, you only get one window before they fly away. So
saying they can't outrun ammunition.
True. And then the third one we've got is Skilled First Officer.
Was that not it?
No, Skilled First Officer.
Oh, right.
We'll go back to that one. But Skilled First Officer, before you reveal a command, you may discard this card to discard your top command dial.
I wasn't good enough to...
No, it's not. It's against Slicer Tools. Just stack up Slicer Tools on Abomination or something. You've got Navigate, so whatever you remove is always a Navigate underneath. But yeah, you can... I guess you could use it as that.
Very good card. But, one point good include.
Yeah. Well, I don't buy into that. Like, I know there's a 3 does. You should have been better. But sometimes stuff just changes.
The ability to react, or so maybe you had your engineering put in fourth round, which is quite a common one.
Yeah.
But you take more damage you thought you were going to, so actually you need that engineering token in play third round. While we're talking about dealing with slice tools, I was just throwing my honourable mention, which is there's a category of cards which came out initially, which basically, I'll use Navigation Officer as an example. Before you reveal a command, you may change that command.
Well, are we moving on here? Because I was just saying, we should talk about...
Oh, still on Intel.
So, Intel Officer comes in, just to finish off on that, it comes in Victory and the Neb B. So you should get one. If you're Rebel or Imperial, you should get one. Yeah, because we're just doing this to continue from when we were talking last episode. We were trying to steer this to guys can't buy in and afford everything to buy in, and they want to just build up a reasonable pool of good upgrades, what ships should you buy? So it's another reason to buy Victory, because although Victory is not a great ship, especially for multiple,
no, it's not.
It comes with a lot of good upgrade cards. And you also get it in the Neb B as well, which again, you want for your Varus if you're a Rebel. And then the Skilled First Officer. Anyone remember off the top of their head what he comes in?
Oh, it feels like something.
It was Wave.
Really recent.
Raider-ish.
Was it Wave 4 or Wave 5?
I thought it was really recent.
I reckon it was like the Liberty.
Okay.
So if you want that, you have to buy Rebels for Liberty. Not much other way for that.
So
those are the three. Your wild card was...
Honourable mention, there's the class of cards.
These two, right?
Those
two.
Well, this one as well, but yeah.
So that's Navigation Officer and Wing Commander.
Before you reveal your command, you may change that command to Navigation Command. But there's four different cards. So one of these cards exists for each different command you can have. And there's 6 points. So there's 5 points more than Skilled First Officer, which, you can discard it, discard once, that'll give you once against slice tools. This, of course, is brilliant, because no matter if they slice you or not, you can always have that command as your dial.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
The old way this used to be used was, say, for example, I want to Gauss open. So the way I use it is on my Liberty with the Edge and Tex, running my D with all the stuff. So I definitely want navs. I do not want to get sliced. I do not want somebody to mess with that command dial. So I have Navigation Officer. So before I reveal the dial, I can change to a nav dial. And what this also means, I use it the old way at the same time, where I set my entire command stack to engineering. So now, if all of a sudden I need an engineering, I just don't change it.
Yeah.
If I want an nav, I change it. So it's fantastic.
It's great for ships where you only want two orders, isn't it?
And again, if you're facing slicer tools, this could be worth its weight in gold. But don't disregard the old school effect where you can just, sort of set your stack to one thing and be able to change it on the ground, especially if it's command three.
So I think, yeah, I agree. I think I like the wing commander version, which is the squadron version, same 6 points. And I like it for big ships like ISDs. So I have used it before, where you just have a stack of engineering. Yeah. And if you want the squadron, you just change it back to a squadron.
Yeah.
That's quite cool. There is the one for concentrated fire, which I've never seen anybody use. And why would you? Because it's like a weak dial.
Yeah.
Tactical expert.
It's a good dial. It's
Why would you spend six points to change it?
Dual turbo laser is 1 point cheaper. And
exactly.
Unless you roll it and see who you're playing with before you.
An engineering captain is the name of the engineering one. So I've got Navigation Officer, which is probably the most used one, is available in Home 1.
Oh, okay, fair.
Only. I think they're all...
if you play Rebels, you've got to have Home 1.
Yeah, you definitely are. But you're using it on like the Liberty, aren't you, generally?
Yeah, because you've got the Liberty. really, really tanky... Well, it was a really fun, super, super agile Liberty build I had. Where pretty much every game it would do a lap and a half of the board.
Stops it getting sliced.
Killing absolutely everything.
And then the Wing Commander comes in the ISD and Home 1. So you get that in both. But you really generally want that for the ISD. But that's fine. It comes with an ISD. I think the Engineering Captain comes with the MC-30 frigate.
Yeah.
And maybe the ISD. And I'm not sure about Tactical Expert. I'll just look that one up. But basically it's all Wave 2. And Wave 2 is good stuff like ISD and... MC-30. You're gonna have that, or you should have that in your force faction.
It's the coolest looking stuff.
Yeah.
Hammerhead looks all right, but
Tactical Expert is just the ISD by the looks of things.
Yeah.
So most of these come for the ISD, which, to be fair, is the ship that wants them the most.
Yeah.
So that was your wild card. I don't know if I've even really got.
I would say
damage control officer
that might be more prevalent in the future. I think there's so many good faction specific ones at the moment that you don't see it. But if you can actually useful contains.
So damage control officer is 5 points. When you resolve the contained defense effect, you can prevent the attacker from resolving any critical effects. And especially on the hammerheads, they'll have that. 5 points is expensive.
Yes,
you can stop getting APT.
So it's like an extra 10% of your cost, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you can stop getting APT'd, if that's a huge thing, which it is at the moment with admonition.
Mm. Yeah.
I've never fought an admonition, but I guess
You've never fought.
Lucky you.
Played against it, yeah.
Lucky you.
You play against your virus over and over again. Admonition loves your virus.
Yeah.
Because you can't kill admonition faster, they can kill you.
So damage control comes in the light cruiser, which is the Architens pack.
That explains why I haven't seen it.
So, in summary, on the officer, they suffer a bit from faction specifics being better, which we'll start working on next episode. But there's a lot of versatility and stuff in there. Like the liaisons and the token ones used to be cool with Tarkin because you give everybody a token and swap them with that. So there's no reason to not to try them out if you see one that you like, get it on the table. It's a hotly contested spot, is the problem.
Yeah.
Alright, let's go on to support teams, which is very different. So there's only six, I think, in total. The list we've got is fighter coordination teams as one. This shows Ricky's mentality. Then Engine Tex is two.
No.
For sure.
Engine Tex is at the top.
Engine Tex is much better.
Yeah.
Much more. But that's Ricky's Yavaris mentality creeping in there.
Constant Yavaris.
And then Projection Experts at three. So do you want to read out fighter... Well, actually, we're going to go with Engine Tex as number one, right?
Best card ever.
So somebody read out...
Engine Tex. After you execute a manoeuvre, you may exhaust this card to execute a one-speed manoeuvre. So good. so good.
So why is it so good?
So it's worth pointing out, you do have to...
You have to use a nab action.
Isn't it?
Token or dial.
Yeah.
So it's so good on stuff like the Demolisher, which wants to get close range and can shoot after moving. It can move, shoot, move again, or shoot, move, shoot. It gives it a lot of flexibility, and being able to get in close range, get those shots in, and then move out of someone's scariest arc with your maneuver. And it just gives like maneuverability is key at the moment, it seems.
The fact that it's a speed one maneuver, so it's not number of clicks that are on your speed. It's the number of clicks you get if your ship was at speed one.
Yeah, which for Gladiator is two.
Yeah.
So you can swing the back end round out of people's arcs. Yeah, it's amazing.
And get really cheap roll and kill on AF2 or something.
And I think speaking of flexibility, so, also the fact is you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
So you've got a choice when you move of like which speed you're going at, or what effective speed you're going at.
And if you need two damage to kill a ship, you can bump it twice.
Yeah.
Just to kill it. That's the main reason, isn't it? You can do double bump. You get plus one speed, which is amazing, but at your best joint normally.
And early on it just gives you that extra boost to get in closer.
Yeah.
Like if you think, oh, I can take that speed one manoeuvre and I'll still be out of range, but then next round when I do it, my actual manoeuvre, I'll be... Yeah.
What I'm really keen to see, something to try, because I haven't tried it since years ago, is TRC Corvettes with Edge Attacks.
Yeah.
Just because I think they can turn 180. They're at speed 4, you can speed 5 with a full 180.
It's
just like...
double bump to finish the
absolutely
as well.
Ridiculous.
For an 8-point cost, putting it on for a Corvette,
and that's why it doesn't happen in serious tournaments. It's too much.
But on like Demolisher, it's a no-brainer. Liberty as well, it's fantastic, and
makes Liberty.
It's amazing,
brilliant.
So you get this quite easily. You get it in Gladiator pack, which is what you want it for, the main ship you want it for. You get it in the Liberty, which is the second main ship you want it for. And you get it in the Neb B, which you don't want it for Neb B. You want the next one we're going to talk about, but. You get another one if you needed another one. So, and you're going to probably buy.
It's nice because when you take the filth that is the old school Recon Zombie Corvette Swarm.
Oh god, yeah.
But you run it, you bump them, you edge tech, bump them a second time.
Yeah.
Oh, they killed you, but then they bump you. You're still alive. That's three damage out straight away.
And because they don't die to the end of the turn with Recon,
ridiculous.
All right. That's definitely number one, in my view. And then number two is Fighter Coordination Team, which is 3 points. After you execute a manoeuvre, you may select a number of unengaged friendly squadrons up to your squadron value at close to medium range. Those squadrons may move up to distance one. So this combos with the Flight Commander because it allows you to pull squadrons with you after you move and then activate them. So you get extra range, or if you're a Varus and they double tap, as long as they stay still, you can move them within range to double tap.
And those special positions where you get Adar Talon where they unactivate after activated and they double tap again.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But still brilliant by itself, 3 points. Just an extra move.
Yeah, and like Ricky was in the list he just talked about earlier, is using it for the double claim for the
VCXs.
Yeah. I've always wanted to try and make it work with Mauler, but there's no good Imperial ships that run as support teams to make Mauler do the...
So what does have a support team with Imperial ships?
I think it's Gladiator.
The Gladiator.
And Interdictor, maybe.
Does
Interdictor have one of these slots?
Yeah, the Interdictor has one of those. So you put engine text on it.
Yeah, so neither of those.
Fighter table, I like that.
Yeah, and what does that come with, Fighter Coordination Team?
Interdictor, I believe.
Is it just Interdictor? I'll just look it up at the moment.
Or Liberty.
It's definitely one of those cards that became quite tricky to get multiples of. Those in high demand.
So, it's...
I feel like it's the Liberty. Oh.
We're going to have a guess on it. It comes with the Interdictor and the Phoenix Home.
Oh.
That's right, it's the Phoenix Home, yeah. Cool. So we had to wait a whole new wave.
That's potentially a harder card to get, that one, if you're just buying the good ships you're going to use a lot. Especially because Interdictor and Phoenix Home are not...
That's the price you've got to pay to run Recon Uvaris. You've got to buy a Phoenix Home. Very cool. I've seen some cool concepts of Phoenix Home.
Yeah, it just doesn't quite work.
I've seen people just use it to regen the entire list of shields. But it's not fast enough to stop the TRC swarm killing everything you own.
Honourable mention to my friend Pete, who loves the Phoenix Home, and he plays the like fluffy Rebels list.
Is that Pete of Yavin fame?
That is Peter the Avon fan.
I like Peter.
So,
we'll talk about rebel ships in a future set, but yeah, Phoenix Home. So the third one, is there a third one here? I mean, engineering teams is terrible.
Projection experts, I've had
Nav teams is meh. Medical teams is
didn't
meh.
Nav teams get FAQ'd, so you can't even stack it with Medina as well.
Yeah. We won't even read that one out because that one.
1 point med team.
Yeah.
That's the honourable mention, I think, is the 1 point med team. If you,
yeah.
Before you're dealt a face up damage card with the crew trait, which is about a third of all crits, I think. Quarter to a third.
Yeah, fair.
So you may discard this card to discard that damage card. So not only do you not take the face up, you don't even see take the way it is as well.
At the moment with people running bids and everything. Like that 1 point
could make a difference.
If you didn't need a 15-point bid, you could get your Corvettes with all the medical teams just on the off chance.
And reinforced blast doors.
Just on the off chance.
Yeah.
But I do need that bid. That's the issue. There's also a projection expert. I see Ricky picked up.
I think that is probably the first.
So projection experts. So if you've done engineering token or dial, you may spend up to 2 engineering points to move that many shields from your ship to a friendly ship at distance 1 to 5, 6 points. Now this, I used to run this a lot in my Akbar gun lines. I'd have 2 AF2s and an MC80, and the MC80 would still take Ravens Antilles. So it would take an engineering action, engineering dial plus token for 6 engineering points, which is actually limited. So I could spend 4 to get 2 shields. And then move those two shields to another ship. So if they shoot the AF2, so you had ECMs as well, of course.
Yeah.
Then so basically, and then they could be regenning as well. Because the whole list was regenning. I think I had redundant shields at 1.2, so the whole list was regenning about like 10 shields a turn. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. You have to build your list around this, though. It's not really like a slap-on upgrade.
No. It can let you keep some of the weaker stuff in your list alive a lot longer than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
But it can't. It's not enough to deal with some of the huge spikes here at the moment with ammunition demo.
Yeah. And it's expensive for 6.
Yeah,
But you can move shields above the initial shield value, can't you?
Did they say that in fact? Pretty sure you can't go above the initial shield value. Which is interesting because usually if it's not shooting the ship that's generating the shields, you move them first and then you regen your shields. So you get your 6 points.
So that comes with home one only. Yeah. And the medical team comes with liberty. So both rebel-y type stuff. If you want either of those, but the main ones in that category really is the engine techs and the fighter coordination. Yeah,
it's a rare slot to get as well.
You get it on mainly rebel ships, don't you? Yeah. You don't get it on Imperial ships really, other than Gladiator and Interdictor. Okay, next we've got defensive retrofits. Matt, you want to take this one?
Sure.
So the three Ricky left for us was electronic countermeasures, blast door, and advanced projectors in that order.
Yeah, that's the clip.
Probably not the clip, far off.
Yeah.
I do like redundant shields as the wild card.
Yeah, but every now and again.
Well,
what about them cluster bombs?
No. I used to like, because there's that MC80 with the 2 defensive slots.
Yeah.
Redundant shields and advanced projectors before they nerfed it. The X-7s was like basically impossible to kill. You had to kill all the shields with Ramus Antilles as well. Yeah. Engineering.
And that's the one you put projection experts on as well. So if they let you not shoot, you're just fine. You're still getting your benefit to other ships. So,
electronic countermeasures or ECM. While defending, you may exhaust this card to spend 1 defense token that your opponent targeted with an accuracy result, which is pretty amazing. And it used to see a load of play when everyone was running like medium and large base ships.
Because it keeps the brace alive no matter what. It
keeps your brace alive.
You couldn't take an AF2 out without it.
And again, that's why Intel officer saw a little rise because you couldn't ECM past that.
Yeah. It's also seen a bit of play recently, I guess, with Minister Tua giving like flotillas that slot, the defensive retrofit slot. So you can run it on there. it's pretty amazing vital upgrade for medium or large base with that slot. That's the thing that a lot of the Imperial ships don't have.
No.
Well, Mr. 2 is a great card to come out to give your option on it.
Yeah. So that comes in the Corset,
yes,
the Assault Frigate, and the Corvette. So not much for Imperials. Mostly for Rebels. But Rebels, like we said, Rebels are the main beneficiaries of it. It's good on ISD2. You definitely want it on ISD2 if you can fit it on. And you'd hopefully have one copy in your core set if you're an Imperial player, not a Rebel player.
Yeah, keep the brace alive.
Yeah.
And then reinforced blast doors. That was number two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, at the start of the ship phase, you may discard this card to discard up to three of your face down damage cards. And that's 5 points.
That comes in the
Architens?
Yep.
Because
I keep borrowing them off you, that's why.
Too tight.
Maybe I should stop allowing you to run Dirty Admonition. Years. So, great little card for keeping stuff alive. The key being here is that it's at the start of the ship phase, so your opponent can't do it. Don't let people do it just before they activate and take them damage. Make sure you get that timing window. Remember that timing window. And also
if you move on to orders, if you move on to doing a ship, it's too late.
During when my ammunition would have died if I hadn't done it in the correct time window at the to win the win tournament the other day. I said to Chris beforehand, like the turn before, don't let me forget to blast doors on my turn. it came round to Jim's turn. I was like, blast doors! And Chris was like, yeah, I was going to let you accidentally forget and then be magnanimous in my letting you do it.
Yeah.
Chris wasn't able to get his magnanimous card that day.
But also the other key bit is being that it's face down damage cards.
Yes.
So if you're with the new party that flips all those cards face down.
I wonder if that makes Han better, because you could like jump in with Han.
Oh, before people blast doors.
Yeah, because I guess it's whoever has initiative, does it?
Yeah, I'd assume so.
Ooh. If you had Han, does he trump blast doors? Get in and do the last damage.
What's the wording on Han?
Let me dig him out.
But
I think he's at the start of the ship phase as well. Is that at the start of the ship phase? Let's see, Mr. Solo. At the start of the ship phase, you can activate.
Okay, so they're both the same.
Yeah,
so if you're going first and you've got a hand,
that'd be quite rare to have them on one damage and then
have them on one damage. Or two. Hand's not even bomber.
He's not bomber, but he does have two dice
right
against ships.
He's got a good chance of doing it.
Yeah. And then the third card, Advanced Projectors. When you resolve the redirect token, you can choose more than one hull zone to suffer damage, which may include a non-adjacent hull zone.
That comes with the assault frigate,
and that's 6 points.
Just the assault frigate.
So prior to the rise, well, I didn't used to play prior before to XI7s.
Yeah. So,
but apparently before that got FAQ,
this used to be crazy on like a home one Liberty, because you've got four on the front, and then is it four on the sides with them as well?
Yeah.
Or three. Yeah. So you've got 4, 4, 4, and three on the back, and you used to be able to take, say, you took like 8 damage from the front or 9 damage from the front, you could just put it on your offside and your back and your front and not take any damage. It was insane.
I used to have, unless it's
XI7.
I never used to like it, but I was playing against a lot of guys who were doing like big hefty dice attacks.
Yeah.
So the brace was worth as much as that was.
Absolutely.
Except for the fact I'm not taking the damage, so later I can re-reach.
You're right. The ECMs is better. But on the home one where you have two defensives, ECMs and the advanced projectors, was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I reckon you can still get away with it because not that many people play XO7s.
Yeah, that's true.
I very rarely see it.
That's true.
Despite the sick alt art.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just make that Mon Cal just becomes a crazy regen.
I play a lot of Corvette, so I can only throw one to my shield.
So we talked about the redundant shields, which was at the start of each status phase, you may recover one shield, which is 8 points, and also a modification, which is quite key because
you can only have one modification on any ship at any time.
And then the wild card is obviously cluster bombs.
No, redundant shields is the wild card.
Cluster bombs,
the only one we haven't talked about.
Oh, you've lost your 100-point ship. Would you care to possibly do a damage to a TIE fighter?
Yeah. You get redundant shields and ISD and MC-30 frigate if you wanted to get some.
I hope.
Let's not talk about
cluster bombs.
I hope that it gets FAQ'd or errated or something and brings it. Because we always talk about how strong squadrons are.
Cluster bombs is a one shot hurt squadrons for 5 points. Four dice. You're probably going to roll three hits on it. Is it? No, because it's hits or crits.
Okay, yeah, three. Then.
So it's 0.75 of a dice.
It's like Shara,
so you should get three hits.
And you can't
it's not an attack, is it?
No.
So you can't scatter it.
Stupid.
Don't say it.
You can't scatter it. Okay,
no,
fair.
No.
It's a little bit money in that. I'll give you that. It's a little bit money in that.
It's something you'd have to bait somebody in if they made a mistake.
It's a shame it's not
good.
It's a shame it's not
free. Gives you points back for taking it.
For each squadron at close range.
Yeah.
Is
it only the person that killed you?
It's only the squadron that kills
you. Yeah, see, if
it's not even kills you, is it? It's just after an attack.
Oh, against you. Yeah,
but you can do it even if you die, yeah.
But I think it should have been like.
It's cool art, though.
It's cool art. I think it should have been for like every squadron at close range, even if it's friendly or not. If you could just literally bomb more effectively than flak. But. Anyway,
yeah, we'd probably be a bit too good. It's not good. Let's move on. So the next category is the is it fleet support? The one that comes support, on for tippers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is only 5 cards for this available.
I wonder what Ricky put for this one.
Well, quite clearly, I think the top is Bomber Command Center.
Overpriced. Just roll good dice.
Overpriced.
Just roll good dice. Just roll better dice.
It's read out, Matt.
Bomber Command Center. While a friendly squadron with bomber at distance 1-5 is attacking a ship, it may re-roll one dice, and it's for 8 points. Right. And it's so good. Prior to Bomber Command Center, bombers bombing dice were inconsistent.
Yeah.
You just had to rely on weight of dice. Like you couldn't think that a Y-wing would actually get any damage.
Yeah.
Or a squad of Y-wings, but now.
Even X-Wings makes them really good bombers.
Yeah, Bomber Command, and especially like doubling up as people do.
And it's death, but the thing with Bomber, the thing that makes bombers strong is that they're death by 1,000 cuts, so your defense tokens are close to worthless. And to get Bomber Command, which is basically guaranteed.
Unless you're ammunition.
That's what makes ammunition amazing. But the bomber, for me, like the Bomber Command Center, it just basically makes your damage so consistent and reliable.
Oh, yeah.
It's just insanely good. And if you like Ben's list that he was playing with for a while, where he had 3 of them, means you can re-roll whatever you get on the first one, unless it's a hit crit.
He had two Bomber Commands, but he had like a 90% chance of getting the damage that he wanted.
A hit crit, you re-roll the first one. If you don't get a hit crit, you re-roll the first one.
Yeah.
And then you stick on a normal hit, so you don't roll into a blank. But if you roll a blank on the second one, or a hit crit, you keep the hit crit. If you roll a blank, you then re-roll again.
Yeah.
You just get so many hit crits, and it... Like, what is it? TIE bombers are 9 points.
Yeah.
And they're just carving up ships left, right, and centre. It's insanely good, Bomber Command Center. It's insanely good.
Shame I can't double up my ordnance experts on demolition.
take Vader, though.
Yeah. I mean, I do, yeah.
Basically the same thing.
Next one for me is probably Comsnet.
Yeah.
See, for me it'd be Slicers, but Freddy's.
Ooh.
I think Comsnet's more ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Okay, so Comsnet, Bomber Command Center becomes in both Flotillas, right?
Both, yeah.
Because I know some of these.
You get it in Rebel Transports and Gazantes.
Okay, so Comsnet, after the reveal commander step, you may remove one command token from this ship to assign a matching token to another friendly ship at distance 1-5. For 2 points, it's pretty great being able to give you some flexibility.
You're stalling out, most of your flotilla actions are stalling stuff out anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're giving all that flexibility. And if somebody slices you or you need to slow down, you need to speed up, just give them a nav token.
Yeah.
If you need that squadron token, it just makes the flight controller ultra activations better.
Yeah.
You can help repair something if it needs, got a dodgy crit on it. It's just amazing for 2 points.
Yeah,
And then
so good.
Slicer tools, which was an upgrade that saw a lot of play for a while, but it seems to have died down. Like, everyone teched against it.
This is the best one.
Everyone teched against it, and
but it's the best and the worst because it's easy to tech against. But if you don't tech against it, it's really good.
Yeah,
it
really fucks you over. But
this is the best one just from a overall perspective.
Comsnet, you get in both actually, I think, but don't you, or is it only one you get Comsnet in?
Comsnet is a very sneaky. I'm going to sit in the back up. Comsnet is when you're buying a Gazanti. So when you buy a Gazanti, you put your admiral on it. You take Comsnet.
Yeah.
You help earth it slightly as you run away.
Yeah.
That's the coward's choice. But Bomber Command, you sit the
so
back.
So why aren't you playing it then?
You sit
with your cowardly long range list.
What?
Your cowardly manoeuvre around the
ammunition. You can't tell me off for
ammunition definitely,
and for long range at the same time.
Definitely cowardly. Because you can't kill her. Can't kill ammunition.
Slice of tools, you've got to get in their face with tiny little flotilla. It's beautiful. I love it.
So slice of tools, after you execute a manoeuvre, you may exhaust this card to choose an enemy ship at distance 1-3. You may choose a new command on its top command dial.
And importantly, you don't get to see. You do not get to see what they had anyway.
So it's 7 points.
And you only get it in Gazantes, this one.
Yeah. Right. Swag by Gazanti.
Because it's weird, like Imperial tech. Hacking, slicing,
It is really good. Like, I guess it's mostly used against carriers that you know are going to be doing squadron commands.
Yeah, you can hack the viruses,
close range stuff that you think they're going to be doing.
Or hacking, hacking demo
it's
and
the only way. It's the only way to lock like your virus down if Riken's in play.
It's always a funny one, like slicing someone early in the game. Like sometimes it's obvious what you should set them. Like if they have no squadrons, give you a squadron command.
Yeah, that was quite nice.
Those sorts of things. But sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want you doing squadrons, and I don't want you moving. And I don't want you repairing.
Yeah.
But you can also shoot me.
Yeah.
So which, like, I think sometimes it's really obvious. Like, your virus, not squadrons.
it's can be tough to use because you've got to be within 1 to 3 at the end of your move.
Yeah.
Which means you're taking your evade out of play. Yeah. And it's a bit risky, like you say, but put it on two with ECMs.
Yeah.
And, that's filthy. And, or Bright Hope that can also mitigate the damage. It's quite good. Definitely. Or Quantum Storm as well.
Yeah, Storm and sneak into that.
Slicey Tools won me my first game of the Q1 tournament. It was because we had this Admonition Demolisher. Demolisher had come in off a high stress assault. So basically, we were going in parallel down the flanks of the entire fight.
You sliced it.
Trying to get it at the back.
Yeah.
And he'd been able to punch through if I hadn't just like thrown Bright Hope. I'm like, no maneuver for you. Don't care what you have, you're not having maneuver.
The thing that makes it hard for those ones, though, is that often they have a token stacked as well. So they just spend the token. But if you can keep 7 of them or catch them without a token, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think versus your virus, it's worth its weight in gold.
Definitely. I mean, when I was running my previous list with my which I guess isn't stuff, you had to sacrifice your transport with Slice Tools to give you a one turn window to get in and get your virus.
And then the other two, highly situational. Jamming Field.
Pick an honourable mention. Pick one as an honourable mention.
Okay. It's your pick.
My honourable mention will be Jamming Fields. While a squadron at distance 1 to 2 is attacking or defending against a squadron, the attack is treated as obstructed for 2 points. I really like it because, like, Imperial Bombers, Rhymer Bulls, they only have one anti-squadron die. If you can put your flotilla in amongst that ball and throw a bunch of... Yeah. And this is a bit, you have to throw a bunch of squadrons in there to tie them up. You have free reign at attacking that ball without getting any hit.
And I like it because you can activate move your squadrons in, not get jammed, and then move in and cover them up with the jamming field for the shots back.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And I think you get that in both flotillas, don't you, jamming field, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And then Cook's honourable mention.
Well, I was just saying because it features so heavily in Ricky's on the list.
Repair Cruiser's a funny one.
It's another one that you go, oh, I bought this flotilla almost purely for its activation power.
Yeah.
So it might as well sit in something useful at the back.
Yeah.
I think you only get Repair Cruiser in Rebels.
Not unreasonable.
The trouble where it suffers from, so it's 4 points and it's on a repair order. Instead of spending your engineering points, you may discard one damage card from one friendly ship distance 1 to 2.
Yeah.
So you've got to be quite close.
Yeah.
It's good. Like, on the bigger ships, it's good because it takes those nasty crits that catch your guard away. But the thing I think it suffers from is, why wouldn't you want any of the other stuff we've already mentioned? All the other stuff we mentioned is just good. It's really, really good.
I can see it'd be quite nice with Suppressor.
It's good with tanky lists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Good with tanky lists, like Ricky's MC30s.
Yeah, which is very unusual.
So that's a hotly contested category, that one. They are very good. But then, I mean, the whole point of the Gazantes is they sit there and just support. They're not built to take massive turbo laser batteries or anything.
I'll clearly play them all.
Then we've got, Matt, you can do this one again. Interdictor. So this is officially called Experimental Retrofit.
Yeah.
So there are four. I'm not going to do a top three. Just pick out the best and then pick out a second honourable mention.
Which ship are they coming, Chris?
Okay.
These all Interdictor, and you can only equip them on the Interdictor.
Okay, so the best, Targeting Scrambler.
Yeah,
yes.
While a friendly ship at distance 1 to 3 is defending at close range, during the spend defence token step, you may exhaust this card to force the attacker to reroll up to 4 dice of your choice, which is amazing. In like the close ship meta... Targeting Scrambler.
So good.
It's insane. It's insanely good. It just sucks that the only ship you can put it on.
Lando.
The only ship you can put it on.
It's like a Lando every turn. Work. Every shot, right?
It's a Lando, but you have to exhaust it. So if they've double arced you, you can only Targeting Scramble one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still get the APT damage through.
For the people that aren't quite familiar with it, the key part is that it's because it's like you do it at the spend defense token step.
Yeah.
So they've already
modified all their dice.
You read on your Darth Vader reroll and your gunners reroll.
And like, they've turned all their dice to what they need them exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, naked roll.
Yeah.
Blank, 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 blank.
And then you can spend your defense tokens afterwards in response to whatever comes up. Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. And then my honourable mention is the G8s. The G8 experimental projector. I think they should have ruled them differently.
Does anybody know, just sorry, on that targeting scramble, if somebody declares the accuracies first and then you get to targeting scramble and you roll out the accuracies, do they still count against your defence tokens?
I thought they wouldn't, but right. I'm not...
Because it's at the spend defence token step, isn't it?
It is at the spend. So yeah, I'm not sure how the timing step works.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have to look into they've already popped a coin, you can't have those, haven't they?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It might be the way.
So you won't want to re-roll them just in case you came back in as damage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was just an aside. So
cool. So the G8, the wording on the G8 is before an enemy ship at distance 1 to 5 resolves a determined course step, you may exhaust this card to temporarily reduce its speed by 1 to a minimum speed of 0 until the end of the manoeuvre for 8 points. I think it should have been almost completely different. But I think it should have been an area of effect bubble that moves. You exhaust the card to move, and you say within this range of this point, all ships minus 1 speed.
Yeah.
When they're resolving their determined course step. So if anyone comes into that,
that probably would make the stage worth its points.
They slow them down
on everything,
and they can't. But it's all ships within a certain range, and then you have to exhaust it to move that bubble. So the enemy sees that bubble,
and it's like
an interdiction well, and they have to move around it. And actually,
unfortunately, not. That's all.
Yeah,
that's the make believe.
I'd be just happy if it wasn't a temporary reduction. It's like they're minus 1 speed because you've got your finals already, right? We're keeping the speed 0 there because it means, if that let you actually put them speed 0, that'd be very cool.
Interdictor might just be worth its points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you'd be forcing Bridge Kiss speed 2.
It is fun, but the thing with trying that interdictor list that had this and tactics and stuff, it's just keep away. You can only force one thing to keep away, and you can't. Keep it that far away.
Those are blue dice, so
you
actually want them a bit closer.
Yeah,
fireball.
It is cool when it works on engine text or something. You say,
you
demolisher, you have to stay there.
Yeah,
and now I can shoot you. But
yeah, it's fun to use it on the engine tech move.
you need to stack stuff like that, don't you? You need to stack. You need some Q7 tractor beams as well, and
I just think
Constantine Admiral.
I tried that list. It was not as good as I thought it was going
to
be.
I just think if it was an area 1 to 2 bubble,
yeah,
you exhausted that to move it 1 to 4 or something.
Yeah,
is it worth also saying?
But it's not.
But it's not.
You have to have one of these upgrades attached to your interdictor if you want the interdictor to count as an interdictor in creating conflict. Is that right? Or do you just have to have a slot?
You just have to have a slot. Yeah.
So that's actually admitting that the main awesome effect of the interdictor cruisers isn't actually.
I wonder if in the future they will ever bring out more.
I guess they're scared of the balance on it because
you
make it too powerful. Suddenly everybody's playing this control list.
Do you think
where the rebels have nothing against?
Do you think at some point down the line, these token slots, the one that came on the Phoenix Zone, are they going to release a pack called intelligence stuff? And
they've never done this.
They've never done this. But FFG, but if also, you're listening,
a double pack release of the same ship.
I'd like it if they did a Corellian conflict campaign. But instead of all the squadrons, there was a different version of each ship, or different titles for each ship.
That's very cool.
It would really open up some old ships that are not used. It would be new ways to use old ships.
VSG could do something.
It'd just be so cool. You'd have a Mark III of stuff, or a modification. Mark of all these different ships.
I want a red VSD.
A new good title.
For the Rebels.
The red VSD.
Yeah, it's fluff. It's okay with the fluff.
Right.
They nicked it, right?
Yeah, well, it could sort of all, I don't know. Somebody used all.
Yeah, something like that. That would be really awesome.
What, an Imperial ship auction? And they were just bidding.
Why is it? Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Your knowledge of the flux is all the retcon stuff.
It is all the retcon stuff. Yeah, you're right.
I'll take the VFD, please. And then
what do you want to use it for? Nothing. It'll be my private yacht.
Pleasure.
I don't know if we should sell this Imperial Starship to terrorists.
Leave the guns on it. Leave the guns on it. Leave them working.
They didn't take the guns off.
Right.
And then they put them back on.
Right,
The biggest issue was trying to find a quantity of paint large enough to paint a Star Destroyer. Because the only paint that existed...
Why did they paint it red?
because they wanted, because like he's a rich like scum guy, so he's like, I want it to be red.
Right.
But it turns out the only paint that exists in like sufficient quantity to paint a Star Destroyer in a Star Wars universe actually was Star Destroyer grey.
This sounds like dodgy flap to me.
Best flap.
Which who was this person that had this?
Booster Terek.
Right.
He's the father-in-law of Coran Horn.
The last category is the ones that come as the Pelter class.
Yeah,
the bottom of the same page there. I've not used them extensively, so there are only three.
I played against one of them. I played against two of them.
I can't remember for the life of me what they're called.
The
slot. The slot's called. I mean, are they fleet something?
Fleet support.
It would have to be something.
You look them up, I'll read one out. So we've got shields to maximum.
Shields to maximum.
6 points. The start of the ship phase, you may discard this card or spend a repair token. If you do, until the end of the round, before a friendly ship reveals a command, it may recover one shield.
Fleet command.
Is it? Are those a fleet support? Fleet command. So I think this one's not great, because how many times do all your ships have one shield? People focus fire, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to get minimum use out of that.
Well, shields to maximum and redundant shields and repair crews.
Yeah.
The
way that Icework worked was it was a Pelter flagship running for safety while carrying the objective VIP. Just worth at least 50 points on that. And it was regenning the rest of the list as it ran. I know the fact that as it ran is a bit cheeky for a Pelter, especially because ammunition was chasing.
Yeah.
Not running
very fast.
But yeah, it tried. That's it.
You've got All Fighters Follow Me, which is same trigger effect, but with a squadron token. You can discard the card or spend the squadron token. To the end of the round, the speed of each squadron that a friendly ship activates is increased by 1 to a maximum of 5 until the end of that squadron's activation. So it doesn't work on rogues. It's only stuff that a ship activates. I guess it's okay. It makes the B-wings.
So could it work on rogues if a ship activated the rogue?
Yes, it can. Yes. Cool.
But then, yeah.
But if you're using it for Mega Alpha and you want to throw, and it involves you throwing your list beyond your command range.
Ricky played around with this, didn't he?
Quite effective list.
Just gets B wings a bit further, does it?
I think it's the Alpha. It gives you that extra threat range.
Yeah.
But it's funny now because I can remember the time when we were looking at the preview article for these upgrades and we were like, "Oh, that's so cool!"
Yeah.
And the possibility is so cool, but
no. It's because of the ship that they come on, which is only
the Pelter.
It's too expensive for what it does.
Like, you're throwing ships at speed 4-5, and you only speed 2 yourself, so it's then hard to follow up and command them properly.
Well, other people can fight. It doesn't have to be you.
How often do you actually use squadrons at their full speed?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I fly A-wings as pinners, so almost every single time. But
that's maximum at speed 5. And speed
exactly.
Five,
anyway. It doesn't make them faster.
Like, the pinning ships that you want, but...
Yeah.
Like...
And then you've got entrapment formation at the start of the ship phase, same trigger effect, but with a nav token. If you do, or until the end of the round, each friendly ship may change its speed by 1 during the determined course.
I think that's pretty good.
I'd like to try that, yeah, because you could do the TRC Corvettes take your concentrate fires all the time instead of the navs.
This is the thing.
Take nav mostly by 2.
If the Phoenix Home was speed 3... and it was a little bit more manoeuvrable.
That would be cool.
It might fit in with a fleet.
Yeah.
You run this.
It's the fact that the Phoenix Home is at 2 and it can't keep up with doing the interesting stuff.
From stuff.
I do think the one that's best with it is possibly Shields to Maximum. I mean, it is only...
But the problem is like, how many times are people shooting one shield off a lot of things? They're just going to focus fire one
thing. If that keeps you up, like, for one extra round with one ship, it's worth 6 points.
I guess so.
I'm looking at these and thinking in terms of, like, discarding of the card. Sure. I know obviously you can spend a token instead.
Yeah.
But a lot of time I think you just want to discard the card. Like if you need to. Like if you're on the Alpha Apple Fighters Follow Me, you only need to use it once.
Yeah.
Like the shields, if it's a Hail Mary save, you only need it once.
Yeah. I think Ricky's tactic was dragging all the Skurgs forwards, spinning that card, and then launching them all further forwards and trying to alpha the opponent.
Yeah.
like before they'd set up or got into the fight.
I mean, I'm not even going to rank those because I use the Pelter. And
yeah, joint first.
You've got to have a very specific
joint last. I think you'll find this.
You've got to have a very specific list. I mean, there are lists out there that use them well.
They are joint last.
I think it's interesting. There might be another meta out there that's listening to this and being like,
"Do buy meta? Here's a challenge for you. Get a Pelter winning everything."
Yeah, anybody else? Send in your stuff. We'll cover Pelter in full when we do Rebel Ships. But
if somebody's
made it work or do something.
If anyone out there is running a Phoenix Home list,
let us know.
And utilising these upgrades to do really well.
I played a very cool Phoenix Home, a very cool repainted Phoenix Home. Now they told you had like the orange repainted list from regionals, but he had the missile variant,
like so, black.
Yeah, but
black,
I mean, dice. Even he'd eschewed the. He got killed with it as well. Killed the CR90. It would have died anyway, but you know, he claimed it.
Fine.
But I think even he eschewed. He might have had shields maximum. But it didn't help.
Didn't do much.
Gives the amount of firepower coming in. Yeah.
The thing is, Pelter was fine in a fluffy game or a cool game, but in a tournament game, there's just better stuff to spend your points on. Yeah. Just better.
Which is like whenever. This is why I play so much Rebels, because every time I try and build Lister Imperials, I keep going. Rivals better.
Yeah.
Demolish is better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the generic upgrades covered. Next time we'll probably start. Well, we'll see who we've got, who's available. Depending on whether we do Rebels or Imperials.
True.
But we'll focus on Rebels. We'll do all the Rebel specific upgrades and maybe the ships or the squadrons as well.
Well, like titles.
Titles for everything. Commanders, officers, titles for the ships.
We should get Ricky to do the Imperial episode.
Yes!
Sorry, Ricky, we've already recorded the Rebels.
but do you really want all your comparisons to be, you know, well...
It's not when this
list plays against Yavaris, it will lose.
Because... He's trying to shed his Yavaris skin, isn't he?
He is.
But like I say, he's living vicariously but through other people playing Yavaris.
Well, and also, for all the people he's but also, all the stuff he's picked, subconsciously, he's ranked all the stuff that goes on Yavaris, the highest.
it's
upgrade.
It's like the drug pusher that doesn't deal with it, doesn't like go to his own stash. It's like, hey kids, try this. I don't do it anymore because it's bad for business. But like, you'll love it.
don't waste your own product.
Oh, dear.
The trouble is that everyone in Bristol is so used to playing against Yavaris that we've sort of know how to do it.
Well, we got bored of it, so everybody moved off of it.
My lists are really good at killing Yavaris now.
Yeah. I don't know what the metas are like elsewhere, but you've got to think, even in the Q1 we played, there were, what, two Yavaris lists, three Yavaris lists? You've got to prepare for it, because you've got to think.
So only one Rican Yavaris, wasn't there?
Yeah.
The others were the Donna Yavaris.
Yeah, but the Donna's cheap, he lets you have more stuff, and he's great for crits with all the bombers and...
I prefer the Donkey. Rika's almost like I accept that I'm going to get beaten, so
such a funny admiral, isn't he?
The one I find weird is, who plays Rika? Because I've heard this from some other campaigns. People are taking Rika into their Karelian conflict campaign.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you don't want to lose the ships, you've got to buy them back.
Yeah, like,
Rika's effect only works if you're taking overall.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try that.
Maybe it's too late.
Yeah. Okay, I guess what we say about those upgrades, again, don't feel like you have to use any of them.
Use some of them, though.
But this is the kind of thing you will be seeing most often in other lists when you play. The ones we've been through today aren't probably as locked in, maybe, as the ones last episode, where you've got the categories like the black dice ones, which is just so strong. The red dice ones, so strong. The gunnery team, the weapons teams, just so many strong upgrades in there. Yeah. Not quite the same level today, but...
Engine techs is pretty tidy.
There's none in there that I think that are part of a kit card. So last month, we were talking a lot, we had like the XI7s, leading shots, turbolaser reroute circuits, TRCs, all parts of kits, so you can get them more cheaply or more readily. But none, I don't think, for any of these slots yet.
Have you? You've gone. What were the kit prizes like prior to me playing? Did you go to many in like?
They were like for the participation cards were like, I think they were TIE fighters.
Squadron type ones.
Yeah, we got a few of those.
Yeah.
They weren't upgrades, I don't think, and the winning was all like coins and tokens.
Yeah.
So there were no.
Tokens come back in, haven't they?
And we had last week we had some admirals as well, like Akbar was one of the participations, and
got that one. That was regionals last year.
Yeah, I think Tarkin,
three copies now. I've only been to one Tarkin regional. He's spewing them out at the events.
Mon Mothma were early on.
Yeah,
they're hard to get now because I think Mon Mothma was the first Worlds, maybe.
I think she was.
Yeah. Like 300 or 400 of them in existence, yeah. I think.
Ooh.
So,
slightly more than number of players. I joke, all the events set out. Actually, Armada's set out fast. Next
one. Armada's doing well.
Yeah,
it's doing well. It's good to see. It's good to see.
Lots of. It's interesting because in Bristol we're located. We've got Western Supermare down the road. And we've got Cardiff across the bridge.
A few players,
and so each one's got at least six players.
Yeovil.
There's a few players in Yeovil,
and yeah. each one's got distinct like meta, like within their little local group.
It's come from Swindon as well. Came down last time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see, like, yeah, and there's some new players as well. Anthony Yates has finally
some Reading
got into it.
One guys in Reading as well.
Yeah. Who's that other guy that came? He did really well. There's one guy who's first ever tournament. He's done really well.
Oh, he lives in Horfield in Bristol.
Horfield,
yeah, he's never come down. He's just a new player.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. The thing is, he did get 10-1'd by Ben.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ben submarined up.
Yeah. but Ben will do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly will.
Ben has become the dream crusher.
Right. Well, he didn't win that tournament, did he? That's why I finally managed.
I finally managed
to sneak a win.
Yeah.
Sneaky off meta crackers. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for
any
listening.
Any more to say about any of these upgrades, guys? I don't think so.
No,
I think
just buy if you're on a budget. You know, hopefully we've given you an idea of some of the ships to start with for a certain faction.
Do bear in mind that your ship is worth more than the damage, and it's worth its activation.
Yeah,
and it's worth more than just the upgrades on it. So don't overspend on upgrades.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you want to try anything out, like, we shouldn't say this, but I'm sure your local group doesn't mind if you proxy cards for a while
prior to friendly games, absolutely.
Obviously, any official tournament, then it's
you need to borrow the proper cards. Yeah, get a hold of them. But the thing with these is that everything we've been through today, none of it you really need to spam. So, like, some of the stuff we covered last week, like XO7s, TRC, you want multiple copies of those.
Well, I guess that's why they get this. Participate.
You don't really need to spam anything. No. I think it's all.
If you're spamming engine text, you've got a very filthy list anyway. So, a little sympathy.
You spend that money, you live with that burden.
You know, when Hammerhead come out, I will then have like six more ships with the Recon spammers on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, before we go, just mention again the Q1 kit, capped at 16 players. I think we've got about 8 or 9 signed up so far. April the 9th in Bristol.
Do it now.
Sign up, see us on Facebook,
get to the tournament.
Yeah, get to the tournament, and we'll mention your list on a future episode, I'm sure, if you get 10-1 by Ben or something.
Is there a side prize for them scalping you, Chris?
No, because that would cost us too much money. Everyone will thrash me. I'll take some math experimental list.
Anyone that 10-1s or 9-2s, a member of Commons Noise, gets a chocolate bar or a can of drink.
Maybe we should do a little incentive.
Paid for by the player who seeded such an almighty number of points.
Jeez, I'm going to be spending a lot of money.
Depends what list you take, I guess.
I think I might crack out the interdictor again.
Yeah, I might bring an interdictor.
I think the rule is generally don't try hard, probably, this time.
Try as hard as you like, people.
But then for us.
I really liked that.
I want to try some experimental stuff.
I had a really fun game against Robin.
I just played
into Ricky. Like, I was like, I've got to get this right. And I was off.
Didn't.
And then,
yeah.
So the beauty of the maneuver list is like high risk reward.
Yeah.
But I'm not happy with Ricky being the new Akbar guy. I thought I'd locked that in by playing Akbar for a year.
So you're going to bring an old school LT list?
Well, I might bring an old school list back. You
start playing some Imperial, Matt. Show your diversity.
I do need to play some more Imperial.
Show your ability.
I just started enjoying Medine too much. Medine had the Kraken.
What are the side arcs like on the...
Awful.
Yeah.
On the Palto.
Yeah.
what's anything like on the Palto? The answer is basically awful.
It looks cool. It's a very cool model.
Looks like a cool ship.
Yeah. Didn't Ricky try spamming them and it was still bad?
I don't know.
He did, it was still bad. Yeah.
What, one of each of these?
No, yeah, I think we had like three pelters.
Yeah, triumvirate of
had Shields to Maximum and all fighters following me and in track. That's three pelters then, Richard. Three times terrible.
It's got murdered by Arctens.
Three, yeah.
That's fine. I haven't tried Arctens yet.
Three times Arctens terrible.
So
they're really good. They're really, really good.
Just win some store credit. That's the key.
Super good. So, yeah, look us up on Facebook. send us an email and we'll read you out next time.
Tell us how wrong we are about
the upgrades. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear about your metas, and if you've got different opinions about upgrades, different opinions about ships, we'd love to hear about it.
If you can back them up statistically, send through your maths work as well. That'd be
interesting. Double spaced.
Great. Thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
We'll see you next time. Bye.